KBM4.
In a world racked by mediocrity, two angry heroes from New Jersey have returned from 20 years of self-imposed exile. Their mission, to blaze a trail of freedom in defiance of all odds. Inexpensive surreal comedy is their weapon. Smiting the obsequious and vanquishing oppression is their calling. Their lives have reconverged at a time when the universe needs them most to make one final stand. They have been called so wildly pathetic as to be insane, branded ignorant of history and a host of other things, and found guilty of human rights violations. This is the story of a man named Brady, who was bringing up three boys of his own, where Indian fights are colorful sights and nobody takes a lickin', where Paleface and Redskin both turn chicken. Love, exciting and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you. I don't actually know where I'm going with this, but they do. There's an exit ramp up ahead. Abandon reality. It's time for the Anything But Monday show.
And here we are. Welcome, one and all, to the Anything But Monday show. I am Frank Edward Nora, your host.
And I'm Johnny Hardcore,
your other host. Yes, here we are.
Yeah.
I am here with Mad Mike Masters, my co-host here on the Anything But Monday show.
And this is actually an early start to the Anything Monday show for once. It's a midweek version as we continue to cram this in around the rest of our insane lives. And I'm massively overdressed for this evening because I came from a speaking engagement. Right here to jump into the studio, throw on the headsets, and get going with another mad-capped few hours of fun and games.
So, yeah, that's right. Of course, this show is coming out Monday. What's the date of the next show?
I'm losing track.
We don't know.
We'll have a consistent
schedule. The 12th. I believe it's the 12th.
The 12th, okay.
But we're doing this the previous Wednesday. It is 11:23 p.m.
Yeah.
I have to go to work tomorrow, and Mike is, he came in here wearing a suit, basically.
Well, I took the suit off.
He took the suit off, and I'll take a picture of Mad Mike here.
Yeah.
And,
suitless. Well, I'm not actually naked, but I have no suit on. That's for
here
sure.
Here we go. Okay. Getting some pictures. We're going to try to get all the pictures up for the show. There we go. Here, take some pictures of me here.
What am I taking pictures of?
I was thinking before. Yes.
We need to do something about your pictures. Because, you know, far away, you don't look too bad. All right? I mean, people could easily mistake you as Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Now, up close, it's more like armpit.
All right? Yeah, thanks. Thanks. We're trying to get pictures up for all the shows. Of course, the last show, I don't know if Mike, if you saw it, there's a picture of you putting lip balm on.
That was actually very well done, by the way. That was a candid shot. Actually, I've become addicted to that lip balm now.
Me too. That was the Ecolips, the lip balm with caffeine. I've been living on that stuff. That is great stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, coming up on the show tonight, we got a lot of great stuff. Of course, we have an amazing interview coming up.
This is the killer of all interviews yet on the show. Somehow, some way, the universe, the gods have dropped this person in our lap. We actually have a true alien abductress. A woman who's been abducted by aliens, not once, not twice, but multiple times.
Multiple times, and she'll tell you all about it, all of the, and also very, like, secrets from other dimensions and things like that. It's going to be a great interview, and of course, also coming up on the show, we have more of the great piss-poor movie trailers that everyone loves.
Yes.
And, of course, we have all the great features, the horoscope, horror-scope as it is, the ABM Insult of the Week, of course, audio from the past. I don't know if we're going to have a super video battle tonight, but we have a lot of great stuff coming up. So
this show is going to go as long as
it is jam-packed.
Until we decide we have to go home to get up. You know, one of the things we have to handle, and I think we have to have a strict policy about this,
yes.
And I spoke to Frank about this. No more wives listening to the show.
Now, wait a second.
Okay.
My wife, Denise, listens to the Anything But Monday show, and she listens to every second of every episode. Well, hello, Denise.
Yeah. Well, my wife, Nancy,
yes.
All right, basically listened to the first 10 minutes of the show,
no,
of the first show, and goes, as usual, what the hell? Yeah. You know, this when I most people when they leave the house, their wives say, honey, have a nice day, see you later tonight, you know, whatever. And my wife says to me, try not to be too offensive as I'm leaving the house.
Try not to be too offensive.
Yeah, like that. Gee, you know, like, thanks for your words of encouragement. So, you know, great. So we really, I think it is really limiting. It's kind of like having your mother along on the field trip. You really can't have a lot of fun when you had the wives into the show. You know, we have a big show coming up at the.
I appreciate the feedback from my wife Denise.
Well, I'm sure you do, but you know what? I mean, you're getting crap today about the booth babes. Tell everybody about the booth babes and now what the big row is about that.
I thought it was all a joke, Denise, that Mike said we were going to get booth babes. What booth babes are is when you're at a convention or at a trade show.
Yeah.
For example, we're going to be at the Pod Camp,
right?
New York City. We're going to be setting up a little booth to promote the Anything But Monday show. And we came up with this sort of off-the-cuff idea of having a couple booth babes, which, you know.
I see. This is actually an idea from John
Hayes. For example, if you go to a photography expo in the Ricoh booth, right, just something totally random,
right,
you'd have some very attractive young women in bikinis holding up big signs that say Ricoh, the new camera,
where do bikinis come from? They don't stand around in bikinis.
Booth babes have bikinis. Or at the video game conferences, they dress up like the characters. So you have, like, a barbarian-looking girls and stuff. Basically, the idea is all the guys that go to these conventions are generally nerds, and so you put an attractive woman scantily dressed, and that will attract all the nerds to come to your booth, and they are the people that have the power and the money.
If you want to get barbarian women, I can just go to the gym here in Jersey.
Okay. This is just an example. I went to E3 once. Did you ever go to E3?
What are you talking about?
The Electronic Entertainment Expo.
You all look like a kind of person that would go to that thing.
But you see a lot of booth babes there. So I saw it in person. It was of all the video game companies. Like, yeah, Nintendo, Pokemon, right, booth babe, whatever. You had Konami, Metal Gear Solid booth babes. But that is a big thing. But we were just talking about it. I think it was a total joke, Denise. We're not having booth babes. Are we having booth? No. It's got to cost thousands of dollars to get a booth babe. Booth babe.
As you know, you always have nothing to do with this. I'm always the corrupter, the one causing all the problems. So, you know, it's going to be blamed on me if booth babes end up being there anyway. You know, yeah, it's not like these are not strippers. You know, they're not prostitutes. Okay, they're booth babes. They stand around wearing our T-shirts and it's enticing young geeks to come by our booth to pick up the free shit.
Are you saying
that
the podcasters are geeks? Podcasters are geeks?
Gee, I don't know, Frank.
I don't think they
show
are.
Me one that so far that I've met that not doesn't fit in that category.
I have to say, being in the podcasting community for 8.5 years already,
I rest my case
for a couple years. Quite honestly, podcasters are not your average run of the mill nerds. You're not like, I am a podcaster. No, it's a wide range of people, really, and it's not necessarily a nerdy community. Anyway, the booth babe thing was just a joke, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, just ignore that.
I want to add something.
Yeah.
Talking about how you know, people having this reaction to you being offensive. The Overnightscape's apprentice, who is this guy Bud, this 12-year-old kid, is defending you on my forums, on the Overnightscape forums.
12-year-olds? I didn't see this. When did this happen?
Give Mad Mike Masters a try, okay? Why so much hating towards Mad Mike, okay? This is the thread started by Bud, who's also known as the Overnightscape's apprentice. Why is everyone so mean to Mad Mike? So he pushes Frank, and there won't be any more show with him. But also listen to the ABM show. Also, Mike is a giving person. I don't know any person who would give an iPod away. I am also staying on the forum. Also, I can't figure out why, when I upload a show, it's going really fast. Thanks. Okay, so he's defending you.
Yeah.
Okay.
What am I being attacked again on your forum again?
I don't know. I don't know what it was, but he's defending you. So Bud is defending you, and of course Matt Mason writes, punctuation is your friend. Try it. Okay. Because this, you know, so Bud didn't have too many periods or commas or anything. Actually, there's none.
It's the new
trend. Punctuation is old school. It's not
capitalization. Punctuation. Capitalization. Yes. Not necessary. But I appreciate that. What's his name? Bud.
Bud. Yes.
I appreciate that, Bud. And make sure you get your mommy's permission before you listen to the show.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate you defending me. And yes, I am not really that mean a person. You know, although back in the day, I used to, you know, physically abuse Frank a lot. It was a very abusive relationship. But, you know, we matured a lot since that time.
Yes.
But, you know, but you understand, I'm provoked. I've been provoked by Frank. He purposely pushes me to the limit all the time. Even to this day, he does the same. He does the same thing. So what you heard on the Overnightscape shows is really just like, you know, that same antagonistic relationship that was always there that made our Indian Monday show so great. But now we don't have to violate that space. We can have our own show. This is great.
For those of you that don't know, I have another podcast called The Overnightscape. It's been going on for many years now. Yeah. It's a very different vibe. It's much more late night, like, hey, how you doing? You know, I drank some coffee today, and I walked around New York City. Man, I looked at some big buildings, and that's what it's like. And it's a whole different vibe. Yeah. It's a whole different vibe.
And that's why you pay for this show. That one's free.
Now, wait a second. by the time they're listening to this, who knows, maybe Overnight Escape will cost money.
Why would it cost money?
I don't know.
All of a sudden, the people start paying for that too.
All right. So now, what are we going to do? We're going to have to cut off the free listeners at some point. What are we going to give the free listeners? Let's find it. Let's find from our smorgasbord of comedy gold here. What are we going to give the free listeners before we're going to cut them off?
As you know, last show, I was playing with some new names for myself.
Yeah.
And the whole show, we decided that I would go by Tentacles McGee.
Tentacles McGee was his new name.
I mean, I like the Johnny Hardcore angle because it's kind of cool. And
that's a good one, too.
Tentacles McGee is really cool as well. But I came up with a few more that I want to throw out there for you. I think maybe if I had different names.
New names for Mike. Mad Mike Masters will now have a new name. It's not Tentacles McGee. It's not Johnny Hardcore. What is it going to be?
Well, I here's a little bit of a more of a European slant.
Yeah.
Here's one, Francisco Testiculare.
Francisco Testiculare. That's a good one.
Francisco Testiculare.
I like that one.
You like that one? Hey, yeah. I'm Francisco Testiculare. With an accent. I'll walk around and see if anybody gets it.
Yeah.
How about this one? Punk Centrifuge.
Punk Centrifuge. I like that.
I thought these were really cool. Punk Centrifuge. This one's a little bit more feminine, but I thought it could work. Tipsy Fleece.
Tipsy Fleece. That's the one, I think. I like that one a lot. Tipsy Fleece.
And one from the oldies, Rat Fink.
Rat Fink. That's excellent.
Rat Fink with two Ks. Rat Fink.
Rat Fink.
And keeping with the really like European slant, I like this one I came up with. Angelina Jolie. What do you think about that one?
Illuminati. No, excuse me, huh?
It's got a nice ring to it. Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
What do you think about that one?
I like that one, too.
You blast you and your estrogenical treachery.
I like that one a lot.
So which one is it going to be? Is it going to be Francisco Testiculare?
You don't have any? No more names? That's it?
Well, if I had more time, we had two...
No more. Okay. Sorry, we haven't gotten many new sound effects.
Well, we haven't got time to... Frank, let's stop. Let's back up.
Let me ask you, does Testiculare have a gun? We have gun sound effects now.
Gun sound effects, good.
Yes, finally.
Yeah. No, Punk Centrifuge is the guy with the guns. He's the one who would have definitely... Yeah. Perfect. Excellent. So it's going to be Francisco Testiculare.
Yeah.
Punk Centrifuge, Tipsy Fleece, Rat Fink, or Angelina Jolie. Which of my
name I think
be
Tipsy Fleece is the one I like. I personally like Tipsy Fleece.
We should have people vote on the forum for one of the names, for names. And actually, you know what? We should open it up to all our listeners. If you want to go on the forum, whether you're a premium listener or not, come up with names, you know, and we'll read them next time. I'll pick one. I'm going to go
by. In fact,
if
you're listening to this on the free, and we do anticipate some people, as crazy it may seem, might just listen to the free shows because I think there's a lot of entertainment value even in the free shows. And there's a free part of the forum. All you got to do is register for free, and you can post in there.
Why would they just listen for the free part?
There's over a billion people on planet Earth. Okay.
Yeah.
And so, of them listening, some people may not have the money. Like, for example, we got an email from Ruben from Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah.
And he was saying that to subscribe to the show was equivalent to like $40 a month or something, right? So in like Kuala Lumpur money,
our month,
$7.99 a month
is like the gross national product
of
the country.
So people in other countries, I know most of the world the dollar is very weak against, but in some countries the dollar is worth more. So
let me get this straight. You move to Kuala Lumpur to save money.
Yes.
That's why you go there.
Yeah.
Now, did his parents bring him there, or did he go there on his own?
No, he's from Australia originally.
Yeah, so you jump from Australia to Malaysia to save money.
I know. He's going to school, I think. I don't know.
Now, that's a pretty severe way to go save money. Like, I will move to Bangladesh, and I will live in
Kuala Lumpur could be a great place. I don't know.
Yeah, all right. No.
I'm trying to find the post here where he says how much it's worth. Yeah, here it is. There's a purchasing power parity problem. Living in Malaysia, and it's basically $27.90 per month in whatever the Malaysian whatever rupees or whatever it is over there. So
it serves you right for living in Malaysia. What do you expect?
Yeah.
What is it to do in Malaysia? Jump off the tallest building in the world, right?
That's it. The Petronas Towers.
And
yeah.
After that, that's it. What else is it to do in Malaysia?
You know, that really puts knots in my stomach to think that the tallest building in the world is no longer in New York City. It's in Kuala Lumpur. We got to build a big building in New York. Well, forget about this Freedom Tower.
If they listen to me and they got the extreme makeover people in there, that thing would have been built last week. But no one listens to me. My brilliant ideas.
Let's right now set a limit. If we get a certain number of listeners paying,
right,
we will build the tallest building in the world.
How many is that going to be?
Well, like like, what's the build? Like, I know in Dubai now, they're building, like, a building that's going to be a half mile tall. We got to make it taller than that. It's got to stand for a long time.
Yeah.
So I figure how much does it cost to build a half mile building? $1 billion?
Let's take a bet now. How long do you think that building is going to stand in Dubai once they build it?
I don't know.
How long before someone blows that one up?
I don't know. Dubai is a very peaceful place.
Yeah, it's a good place to build a building. Yeah, let's build the tallest building in the world in Iraq.
I'm just saying. So if we get, for example, 100 million listeners, I think we can build
the tallest building. We get 100 million listeners a month, paid subscribers, we'll build the tallest building in the world.
Yes, there's our guarantee, and we'll build it here in New Jersey. Here in Jersey. Forget New York.
You know what? We will raise Newark, New Jersey to the ground and build the largest structure in the world.
Yeah.
So first, we will, step one.
Purchase Newark.
Purchase Newark. Step two, buy nuclear weapon.
Defend building.
Right, exactly.
Defend said building.
I was thinking you flatten the city with a nuclear weapon, and then you put that it's all as in...
Oh, you sort of raise it to the ground.
Exactly.
Yeah, great.
And then there's no reason to keep Newark, right? You know that.
I know. A lot of people around the world don't know, but Newark, New Jersey is... Kind of a.
It's like a floundering.
It used to be a nice place. My mother actually grew up there when she was young, but it's.
Your mother was black?
No. And not everyone in Newark is black, but Newark is. It became kind of a bad area, you know.
It's a bad area.
Yeah,
it's a nice euphemism.
There's some good areas though.
Yeah. Suburbs.
So anyway, that's our view. So anyway,
but speaking on the subject of listeners paying, we have two milestones that occurred this past week. We have a 6-month subscriber.
Yes.
Who paid it for 6 months in advance.
Yes.
And a 1-year subscriber as well too.
Yes. And as soon as that goes through, that 1-year subscription will be in.
It's hung up a little. it's a little red tape with PayPal, you know. But that's not his fault.
PayPal is
Nazis.
Now look, they're processing our money. They have our money. We haven't taken their money out of the account
you,
yet.
PayPal.
No, they have our money. We can't
Blast
say anything
you.
Bad about them. We love PayPal. PayPal is great. But yeah, people are subscribing now. Of course, you can sign up monthly, just month by month. It's $7.99 a month. For 6 months, you get $39.99 1 month free, right? So it's basically getting 6 months for the cost of 5. And for 12 months, 1 year, it's for the cost of 10, it's $79.99.
Yeah, I don't understand something. You know, of all the crap that the people look at and listen to on a daily basis and you're bombarded with, listen to what you've heard so far. That alone's worth a couple of dollars.
Literally, at this point, as we're recording this, the show has only been out for 2 weeks and 2 days.
Right.
And we've already recorded 9 hours of quality comedy material.
Right.
9 hours, okay?
Right.
Now, if that's not worth it, I don't know what it is.
Scores and scores and scores of listeners that visit the site and enjoy it. And all the feedback we've gotten universally, if you listen to this show, everybody loves it.
Exactly. This is a quality show.
Even people that hate me love the show.
Exactly. People, quite literally, a lot of people that did not like Mad Mike at first have turned around after hearing this show. Because Mad Mike used to come on my show, and I used to have a storm of fury on my message boards. Everyone hated him, but a lot of these people are coming around now, so it's not a big deal.
All right, good. So we've rebounded from that. But back to my names. If you have some good ideas from names, please post some.
Post them. New names.
I'm going to work on some new names, but I love the ones I came up with today. I think I came up with really 5 really good ones this time.
Yeah.
But I was kind of partial to Angelina Jolie.
That's a good one. Angelina Jolie.
I think it has a nice ring to it, you know?
It does. It does, actually.
Anyway, for many of you know that Frank Edward Nora is my partner, and you know he's the man, in addition to George W. Bush, at least in part responsible for 9/11, as we found out.
Now wait
last,
a second. Now,
last week,
look,
okay?
the free listeners didn't know about this, but I guess we'll talk about this.
Okay, what happened? Explain.
I don't want to give the free listeners this.
All right. Well, then you know there was.
We'll talk about this after we press the button.
Yeah, so we get rid of you.
We're going to get rid of you, people. If you want to know what we're talking about, I am not responsible for 9/11, by the way. But but if you want to subscribe right after we press the button,
are you responsible? Human rights violations of any sort?
I was accused of that.
And what exactly did you say or do that started on that path toward being like brought up on charges? Do you remember those things? Remember the exact slogan that you said that really started the spot?
Yes.
What was the exact slogan you uttered?
It was actually misinterpreted. They thought the guy was Hispanic. He actually was Egyptian. We took a picture of a janitor at school. We went to this school.
I forgot about that.
This is what started the whole controversy. We went to a school.
I forgot about this guy.
We went to a school in called Drew University. It's a college here in New Jersey, and we took a picture of this janitor, and he was vacuuming, and we just randomly, and so we put a picture of it in the magazine, and we put what we were doing. We were being total assholes as usual, going around the campus taking a picture of people and putting little captions under it. We published a magazine,
right.
and. And we and the caption under that one was, "My vacuum cleaner is my friend," quips Juan
the janitor.
Juan the janitor. Now, he wasn't even Hispanic, but now...
He's and the fire store, "He's Egyptian! How dare you?"
We got... That was a human rights violation. That first of all, that we're trying to say that he's Hispanic, and he likes... There's something wrong with him. He likes vacuum cleaners. And the fact he was actually Egyptian, he's not even Hispanic. So that was, I think, that among a few other things.
So that was the
which
first...
we won't touch on now.
Yeah.
We're thinking,
yeah. What was the thing you said? That you know, as you know, this is the 80s. And of course, we all know back then there was still apartheid in South Africa. And it was a very big...
We don't need to bring this up again. We talked about this on a previous episode.
We did not talk about...
We have to get to Frank's disaster of the week before we...
First of all,
You
did not talk about apartheid.
We did already.
Wait, on this show?
On the first episode.
What did we say? Did you say the actual slogan?
We said, I think it was on episode one of Anything But Monday.
I have no recollection of this whatsoever.
Many weeks ago. We talked about it already. We don't have to go there. I am not of a feeling of those type of things. I think human rights is great.
You know, human rights is just swell.
Human rights is great.
That's our new slogan for the show. Human rights is swell.
Yeah. No, so I know. All right. So people are wondering now. Well, let's touch on this briefly. Then I have to get to the disaster of the week, and then we will press the button.
It was a great slogan. It was perfect. People were complaining about apartheid, right?
Basically, we wanted to piss people off, right? That was our main goal.
And you were great at that.
I was great at it. So I deliberately set out to piss people off and wrote an essay on apartheid. Of course, most people don't even know what apartheid is anymore.
Well, explain what apartheid was.
It was a policy in South Africa where there was 10% of the population was white, 90% was black. And the idea was, apartheid was, hey, we, the white people, own everything, and you people are all a bunch of, you can't have anything, which was kind of unfair. It was very unfair.
Right.
And they eventually abolished the policy, of course, because it wasn't in line with modern values.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I was pissed off at all of the sort of the ultra left wing liberal students who were always
protesting in New Jersey about apartheid.
Yeah, they're sitting there like carrying coffins down the campus every day, protesting apartheid.
I got sick of that. Every fucking day I look out my window and a coffin's going by.
People.
A procession protesting. You're whiter than white. All these people, like, went to this university, had money. Frank and I slipped in on some kind of, we were the last two people they took for enrollment, and everything on student aid. All these people are loaded with money. They're buying Coke every day. They're really rich kids.
Yeah.
And apartheid. You never. Meanwhile, they went through life with a silver spoon in their mouth, and they have everything handed to them, and they're chanting and demonstrating and everything else. And they're pissed off because they found out this university has some investments, right, in South Africa.
Oh, that was the
1% or some kind of crazy ass thing.
The university had an investment in South Africa.
Yeah, they ordered a freaking lunch table or something from South Africa, and they're all pissed off about that.
Yeah.
Some one of their plants came from there. So Frank, of course, says, "Look, I'm so sick of this." What did you say? You wrote
something.
I
wrote it just to piss people off, which succeeded. It almost got us kicked out of college.
Yeah, it was. The actual slogan was.
We have to find the actual. Our punishment was a written reprimand, but
yeah. What did you?
I think if apartheid is so unsavory, it's time to bring back slavery.
Exactly.
And that got people all riled up. And
why? I don't know.
No, we did it deliberately to piss people off and push buttons.
We didn't feel that way.
I do not feel that slavery is good.
Right. Exactly. Except that we have people working for us. Other than that, it's a very bad thing.
It's a bad system. It's wrong.
But child labor is perfectly acceptable.
Well, yeah, all these people like Kathy Lee with her sweatshops are child labor.
Right. That's better than
yeah.
Than
no, but anyway, but so we got in a lot of trouble for that, and
that was only the start of it.
It was also the Juan the janitor comment that also pissed me off.
What put the hammer down us. My contribution.
This was back
mess.
in 1986, by the way, for people who want context. This was a long time ago.
Yeah. So what put the hammer down what was a death knell?
Yeah.
If it wasn't enough that you said, you said something really even worse than that about the flies and the Ethiopians, but we wouldn't go there. We wouldn't talk about that one.
That was just another that kind of comment.
That was just really harsh. But Franco put, how about that? You put that one on the premium page. What did you suggest?
No. Just let's get on. We have to do the disaster of the week. Stop dwelling on my racial writings of my youth.
My racial epithets. What is it? What did they wrote? I wrote that we actually did. These were actual. They were weekly world perceptions and ponderings that I wrote. Remember that?
Yeah.
You know, there's two that I wrote that got us on trial.
This is the real problem.
It was Mike.
Mad Mike Master's fault, fault. Because these were...
This is what? What was my name?
Mad Mike Master's
fault.
Tipsy
Fleece.
Tweaky Barbieri. No, it's, Tipsy Fleece. I'm going to write that down. Tipsy Fleece.
Or Angelina Jolie.
Tipsy Fleece.
All right, so...
this was, it actually was Tipsy's fault.
Tipsy's fault. But what I wrote, you know, do you ever notice, right, how black people can't wear a hat straight on their head?
Yes, and that...
An innocent little observation. But you know what? You know what the sad thing is, Frank? It was true then, true today. Correct? I mean, it's a cultural preference.
I would have to say, technically speaking, that a black person can wear a hat straight on their head.
Yes, I understand that. But, you know, we all have our little bit of, you know.
It was an observation that, culturally speaking,
right,
on average, if you see a person wearing a hat,
right,
and it's more of a white person, the hat would be, on average, perhaps, just on a normal way.
And then if it was the other way.
I don't know.
That's what it was back then. We thought that
but
was
people
a laugh.
Consider that to be like a racial humor.
I got it. Now we learned that. We learned that from the trial, yeah, right, that we were on.
Yes.
But then the second one was the,
we actually had a trial at school.
After we cut these people off, that might be one of our stories we tell about the trial. Like the trial was a classic. The trial was a classic time. But the other thing I said, and this is also an observation, obviously outlandish, not really true, you know. But I said, did you ever notice how black people have a tendency to move very quickly? Black people have a tendency to move very slowly when walking in front of your car, but very quickly when participating in sporting events or theft. You know, which of course, yeah, very insensitive,
very comment.
Stupid of me to say that at the time. I really didn't feel that way. I told you, my best friend and my best man, who was also now the program director of the show,
who we will be trying to call eventually.
Yeah,
we're
going to patch him in, Dave Crump. You know, obviously, you know, and, you know, he understood where it was coming from back then. But of course, everybody else wanted to be killed at the time. And we were, of course, brought up on charges, and then the rest was history from there. And we'll get into that after we cut off these people.
I think it's about time to cut the people off. We're going to do the disaster of the week on the other side.
And the insult. We'll do all that.
The insult of the week. So basically, the concept is, if you're listening to this for free on the internet, you're about to be cut off. And if you want to hear the rest of the show and all the shows, you can go to abmshow.com and purchase a premium subscription, and you'll be so happy you did. It's a great system. You go in, and you can hear the show, subscribe to it. Very easy. Would you recommend people subscribe to the Anything But Monday show?
Absolutely not.
No.
What do you think I'm going to say? I've actually worked out a deal with Bank of America because I have some connections with the bank.
Yeah.
You know, and I actually worked out a deal where they'll actually fund the program for you. So you can actually go take out a special loan just for the Anything Monday. It's called the Anything But Monday show.
And you could pay it off monthly.
Exactly.
So instead of $7.99, you pay interest. So it's going to be like $12 a month.
God bless America.
Hold on. The button is malfunctioning.
All right.
We're getting the button ready. We have an actual button here that we're using that we have to get. All right, here we go. This is an actual button.
Is it armed now?
We're arming it now.
Get rid of
button two. All right. Yeah. So free listeners, thank you for listening. And of course, every episode is you get to hear some free, but you're going to miss all the good stuff that's coming up. And I'm telling you, a lot of great stuff is coming up on tonight's show. We'll probably wind up staying up till 3 a.m. getting this show done.
No, you don't.
But here we go. Would you like, Mad Mike, would you like to press the button?
I will press the button tonight. We'll see you on the other side, and goodbye.
Bye. Okay.
What the hell was that?
I got rid of him.
Was that the anti-tank gun?
No, I don't know.
What the hell were you doing with that?
I was trying to find that
okay,
effect.
Okay, we didn't find that anyway. We're back, and
we're back.
On the other side, we're doing the show in one take tonight. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go straight through.
We're going to take a short musical break, and then we will come back with all the great stuff. We're going to talk about the disaster of the week.
Frank's latest mishap.
Yeah.
Some amazing stories that we want to tell you about, and a bunch of other fun things.
Yeah. So we're going to try to get some music
and
going.
And I also want to welcome our latest sponsor. We are now being shown on Al Jazeera television.
Great.
Did you know that?
No.
Okay.
So after the break, we will return. Here we go.
Yeah.
we gotta get to the good part of the song. Hold on. Here it is. Hold on. Listen.
We all love the nightlife.
Is that a great song? It's called Nightlife.
Yeah.
We all live the nightlife. Excellent. We all love the nightlife. Excellent. And we are living the nightlife right now here on the Anything But Monday show.
So we are back. And
only premium listeners are listening right
this,
now?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you about my day.
Yeah.
Today, this is how my day starts off. Because we are in the great state of New Jersey, the gridlock state. You know, and I know.
Now, first of all, how did today start? It was with some massive snowstorm out of the blue.
It was some snow squall. Actually, it was not much snow, but it was enough that, you know what, if there's a foot of snow, no problem. If it's an inch of snow, everybody loses the ability to drive. You know, and I'm trying to get to a client today. And I leave a place that should have took me, let's see, 10 miles. It's a 10-mile trip.
Yeah.
Should have took me 20 minutes
this
to
is
get
for,
there.
This is for your day job, for my not day, for the Anything for my Monday day job. Show. Yeah.
20 minutes it should have took me to get there.
Yeah.
Takes me an hour and 40 minutes.
Wow.
You know, and it starts off, for some particular reason, I'm on this one highway, and if you know anything about New Jersey, it's nothing but highways. In one section of New Jersey, it's just nothing but highways that are packed with traffic. You know, so I'm on this one highway,
yeah.
And literally, it's like a dead standstill. Why? Because for some particular reason, every police vehicle, you know, from it's represented from every town in the state,
yeah,
is on the highway in some kind of motor pool going into the great city of Newark today. Why? I do not know. Every town is represented, and they're like, their lights are flashing, sirens are going. I thought we were being attacked. Like, I thought there was I'm putting the radio on. I'm seeing, was there an attack? And they're finally pulling. No. You know, just for some inexplicable reason, in the middle of rush hour, they have to have this gigantic motorcade that goes through here.
Great.
Okay? So, okay, great. I clear that out. I get past that. What am I? I'm on the next highway. Cruising along, all of a sudden, boom, dead standstill. I'm going 3 miles an hour. Why do I go 3 miles an hour? Is it a car accident? Not a car accident. Is it because there's too much snow on the ground? No, not because there's too much snow on the ground. The reason why it is because everybody's slowing down, take a look. Take a look at what? Here in the right-hand shoulder of the road is this old guy, okay, with a long overcoat. I mean, he must have been like 70 years old, all right? He's in the shoulder of the road, standing, using his car as a shield, not too effectively, I might add, all right? He's got one of those berets, those French beret hats on, right? And what is he doing? He's only in New Jersey. He's taking a whiz in the middle of rush hour traffic. Because apparently the guy is obviously decrepit. He can't get to the woods. And he really had to go. He wasn't wearing like any kind of diaper or anything else. And he's there with his shriveled old schlong hanging out in the middle of rush hour traffic, pissing. You know, and what is he? And of course, you know, he's probably got some kind of prostate problem, so it's leaking out instead of going. So he's standing out there for 20 minutes, and the whole damn highway has come to a grinding halt to watch this old man piss in the side
just
of the road.
Dribbling on the road.
And of course, that was me. I would have been arrested immediately. But if you're an old guy, you get a pass. Oh, he's old. You know, the poor guy probably couldn't hold it. So I have to be delayed to work because this guy has to decide to piss on the side of the road in rush hour traffic.
That's awesome.
Is there anybody have any kind of humility anymore whatsoever? I mean, you care? What? I don't get it.
Would you know.
Do that? I mean, at least be a little discreet. Do something. Unbelievable. That was my day. You know,
yeah.
And it was all downhill from there.
Well, I had a lovely morning. It was actually snowing pretty hard where I live, and you know, it was freezing cold this morning, and I got to stand at my bus stop for a half hour, freezing my ass off, of course.
Yeah.
Waiting to get on the bus.
Is this a disaster that this befell
you
today?
This is not the disaster of the week.
All right, good.
What happened? But, yeah, it's a very, very cold day today. Anyway, yeah, the disaster of the week was last week. Because, you know, we record the show on Saturday, and then on Sunday I do some of the post-production work, get the show up on the site so you can hear it. And so I was working on the show all day Sunday, and decided to take a break and went to the supermarket with my wife. So we went and we got a lot of great products and stuff. And we bought some seltzer water, you know, the great vintage seltzer in bottles. Vintage seltzer is great. And
are you eating any of those cookies I brought you tonight?
Yeah, Mike brought me some cookies.
Another wonderful gesture on behalf of Tipsy Fleece tonight.
What kind of cookies are these?
I think those are peanut butter. You know, I got them from the hotel and I took them all out when I left. You know, and they're probably vegetarian.
You sure?
More than sure, yeah. More than likely, they're vegetarian.
Right. You know? Sounds pretty good.
And you know, I of course always think of Frank, and I bring him a cup full of cookies tonight.
I brought you a coffee, by the way.
Finally, I got the coffee.
Hazelnut coffee from 7-Eleven.
Thank you for that. And you know, I bring him in, so yeah, I'm always giving things to Frank and make sure he's well fed and taking care of him. So for all of you that think I'm so mean to Frank, it's not true. Not true. So continue.
I'm eating a cookie, damn it. Well,
Keep talking.
I mean, what am I supposed to do? Put it in filler while you
put
eat
it? Filler. Talk. I'll be done in a second. Hold on.
You know, speaking of eating, you know, last week I was eating all those whole foods full of earthen objects.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm doing it again the other day. I said, screw it. I'm not going to worry about the earthen objects, and I'm eating my pistachios that I won on the show last week. So I'm chowing down the pistachios, and I bite into a shell. Right?
Really?
And I explode into a million pieces. You know? And I mean, literally, my body was strewn all over the place, and I'm like, oh. And of course, my first thing is, you know, I'm really pissed off because, I realized I didn't have any of that blow-up insurance.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, they told me, take it out, you never know. I wasn't planning on spontaneous combusting anytime soon, but what do? I bite into a shell instead and explode. So I'm very upset about this whole thing. For starters, second of all, I'm also dead.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't have a show to do. So, you know, what I did, just because I'm so dedicated to the show, I transferred my life energy into my evil clone so I could be here tonight.
Really?
You're not
made of a mimetic polyalloy? That where you could just come back together like in the Terminator?
No.
Two?
No.
Really? So you are not Mad Mike. You are the evil twin.
Did I say evil twin? I meant friendly, nice.
No, wait a second. You're an evil twin.
I meant friendly, nice clone, not evil.
You know, evil twins are not really appreciated around here.
I think it's overkill.
All right, no, you're all right.
Now what am I going to do? He killed my clone. Now where am I going to go?
You're not evil triplets.
No, I will just have to. I'll have to stay here. My life energy will just have to hover around here tonight. Speaking of which, so anyway, we will be talking about life energy transfer and Will o' the Wisps and things like that later on in the show.
St. Elmo's Fire, and everything else. We have a great interview about other dimensions and alien beings. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the disaster of the week, actually, it's funny because you mentioned part of it in the pistachios that are involved in this. But first, the first part, we got the vintage seltzer, which is just a bottle of seltzer. And that's what I love drinking. I don't really drink Coca-Cola or those kind of drinks like 7-Up or whatever. I don't drink that stuff
Shasta.
At home. I don't drink Shasta at home. Though Shasta sounds pretty good.
Go
so we come home, and I know when you bring it home from the supermarket, it's shaken up a little bit, so you don't want to open it. So it's sitting there in the refrigerator for literally hours, like 2-3 hours, right? So I'm sitting there in front of the computer. I'm typing, you know. Wait a second. I just wanted a typing sound effect, and I want to. Here. This is what I. Wow.
About shutting the hell up.
I just wanted a typing sound effect, and I got all these other sound effects.
And we could go back to the story.
Like this, you know?
Okay, great.
Right.
Thank you for that.
So, see, that's the thing, you know? You can't get the right sound effect. But anyway, so I'm sitting there working on the show.
All right.
And I figured I'd have a nice beverage. I got the seltzer out of the fridge. So I'm sitting there in front of the computer.
Yeah.
All of the, of course, the precious computer files of the show right on the computer, getting ready to upload it to the server so the world can hear the Anything But Monday show.
And here's where it gets bad.
And I'm sitting there. You know, I have a glass. I'm going to pour it in the glass. But I'm sitting there, and the bottle of seltzer's in my lap. I unscrew it.
Yeah.
And literally, like a geyser, it shoots out all over my lap, all over the computer, my scanner,
ground. On the show stuff? On this computer?
No, not this computer.
Oh, yeah, sure.
No, this computer, I it's not involved in that.
So what?
That was several feet away.
What computer got doused with seltzer?
Luckily,
water?
Most of the water just went on my lap. Okay, so it looked like I pissed myself, but some of it hit the computer. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I cannot believe. I'm like, what? I'm sitting there, like all wet, sitting there in front of the computer, all pissed off. I'm like, what the hell just happened? I can't do anything right. It was hours and hours and hours.
Clean up from that.
It was horrible. I had to get like a million paper towels and change my pants. And anyway, but that was not the only disaster. That was the first disaster of the week. Luckily, the computer.
Linen to throw on before. Listen, I call child services.
Go ahead.
Luckily, the computer was not damaged, but it was close. It was very close. It could have affected the show schedule.
Yeah.
The next thing that happened.
Oh, there was more. There was a multiple disaster week.
Yeah. This I think is in the scheme of things a larger disaster.
All right.
So as you know, last week we talked about how we were going to mail out crap from the studio to our Vanguard list. And in fact, we did that.
Yeah.
And on Sunday, we got the stuff ready. And my wife, Denise, mailed out to the first 7 people on the Vanguard list, who were all the people
at
that time, all the random crap from the studio. And in fact, if I can find the, we'll find the listing here.
Mm-hmm.
Someone already got their stuff. But anyway,
someone got the stuff already.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm packing this stuff up. A lot of the stuff that we've reviewed
on
the past.
Where is all this stuff being posted on our forum?
Yeah.
When do I ever see this? Why don't I see
this? Go on the friggin' forum. I don't know.
I can get in the forum.
You got it. This was posted in the private section. Only subscribers.
I
extended your subscription to 2037.
Thank you.
I figured you, Mad Mike Masters, deserves or Tipsy Fleece.
Thank you.
You deserve the show, so you have a 30-year subscription.
If I log on as Angelina Jolie, am I getting in?
Yeah. Well, we reserved one for her as well.
All right.
Or you as well.
Yes.
Okay. So we separated out all the stuff.
Okay.
That we've been reviewing and stuff on the show. Mm. And in fact, here we go. Crap in my mailbox. Here we go. Manny the mailman. He just posted this. When I went out to get my mail today, my box was full of crap. Yes, I received my box of crap. I got some cream colon, chocolate from Japan, and one of those candy bandages. I will give it to my son, Mike. Also, I got an autographed Anything But Monday card with the box. Thanks, Frank and Mike, for the tasty crap. In fact, yes, if you were one of the first 7 people to sign up for the Anything But Monday list, the Vanguard list, here's the little collectible card. I saved one. I only made 8 of them. 7 of them went out.
Why did I sign this card? This isn't worth shit because my signature's not on it.
No, because you weren't available. I had to send it out.
Why did you bring it here so I could sign them live?
Only Frank Edward Norris signed it.
If you come to the New York pod camp, I will sign the card.
Your card will become complete.
Yeah. I look like an android in this picture. Headshot.
Yeah, we have that's like some new graphics
this,
working
this,
on.
This is actually a great card. Look great. You were the first in the box of craft in the show.
Yeah, awesome. See? So only 7 of you have that. And it's a real collector's item. This is the very first thing sent out. So yeah. It's one of those things that... you know, it's if you have it, it's great.
You know? Yeah. So my signature.
Anyway, so when I was sending the stuff out, right, I noticed that because I transport things in supermarket plastic supermarket bags, as you've been noticing.
Yeah,
that's my standard thing. When I have a bunch of crap to bring over here to the studio, I just put it in plastic supermarket bags. So when you gave me junk to mail out, I threw it all in these bags.
Here we go.
So when I got home and I started to sort the stuff out, I noticed that those pistachios had spilled out of your little container, right? Mm-hmm. We sent that out because it had the word earthen objects on it. So I said, ooh, look at this. All those pistachios. I really like the pistachios. All the pistachios spilled out. You know, wouldn't it be right to mail them out to people if they're, like, in the bag? They could be dirty. It's not right to mail them out, so I'll keep them for myself. Right. So
you kept all the pistachios for yourself.
Yes, but the container we used and we sent – so someone – I don't know who it was. Someone got the container with the little earthen objects thing that you highlighted.
All right, cool.
But I'm like
that's a collectible item, boy.
I know. So I said, you know, it's not right to send it out. So I get all the pistachios for myself.
Yeah, and then what happened?
So I got a little Ziploc bag, and I took all the pistachios out of that bag and put it in a Ziploc bag and put it in my coat, and I took it to work, and I figured, I'll have some lovely pistachios at work.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day at work, I get there in the morning, and I'm a little hungry, so I'm like, I got some pistachios.
All right.
Take them out of my Ziploc bag, throw a few in my mouth, start eating them, and I freeze, okay? These pistachios, they picked up the plastic flavor from the bag really bad. I was chewing on friggin' chemical-flavored plastic, okay? I spit them out in the garbage. At work, I'm like, And I swear, I had that plastic taste in my mouth for like 15 minutes. I was like poisoned. I was poisoned by the pistachios. And luckily, I survived, but I couldn't believe it. But see, I was kind of greedy. I kind of like, I want the pistachios for myself. I like pistachios.
It shows you right.
And how did they pick up that? They just absorb that. You know those supermarket plastic bags. They have if you really smell them, they have like a disgusting like chemical smell to them.
Yeah.
Got poisoned with that.
Only you. Serge, you're right for eating the stuff that the Vanguard should have got.
I know. I stole the Vanguard's food. So anyway, that was my crime and my disaster for several disasters for the week. So they weren't quite as bad as some of the other ones, but they were kind of annoying.
Yeah.
In any case.
Any other news from our listeners, or anything you want to go over with our listeners? There's a lot of people that have sent some things in. We have some things from people. Do you want to go over anything with that, or before we go?
I was thinking we could do some audio from the past.
Some audio from the past,
and then read an email from someone from the past.
Oh, then that might be a good idea.
And then we will call our program director.
Yes,
and then we'll talk about the 9/11 thing and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, okay, well, let's do that then.
But let's just do a little audio from the past.
Let's take you back. You know, do we have some time warp music? What was the sound effect you have that you played?
Yes,
back?
I have to play the sound effect here.
That brings us back. And
so we're going to go back in time to, this is around 1986, 87. Of course, the first time around, we were in college together in the 80s.
Right.
And we had our videos and our magazine and our radio show. And I went around campus with my video camera just interviewing people. About us. So here is a little.
Well, people thought about us back in 1986.
Going back in time. Here we go.
What is it like being Mike and Frank's RA? You're not really filming this, are you? It's a wonderful experience to be Frank and Mike's RA. Because I get to look at graffiti all over their door and the ceiling outside their room. I get to see corn stalks on the floor. I get to see a bar with mini mixers and mini bottles of alcohol. I get to see them break into their ex-quad mate's room. And you say, why do they have an ex-quad mate? Because they kicked them out. And why'd they do that? Because they were too nice to be rooming next to Mike and Frank. What else do I get to say about Mike and Frank?
What do you think about their productions, their movies, their magazines?
Oh, the Anything But Monday production team. Fabulous, fabulous. I really liked Riker, Dorm of the Dead. That was really clever, really tricky. Other than that, I love those guys. I give them toilet paper whenever they want it.
Very good. Great, do you have any? You want to say?
Not particularly.
We want to just like, all right, we have you on TV anyway. So tell us, Rob, what do you think of Anything But Monday Productions?
Anything But Monday? Well, the magazine, there's some charming moments, I have to admit. I mean, it's a full creativity. So, although it takes some empathy. You have to understand the person. You have to understand the people. And, you know, it isn't like you read it, okay, you know, accept what they are and move on. So, I mean, I would advise anyone interested to sit down, a cup of coffee, maybe a donut, talk to Frank and Mike. Let them know that you care. Because you know something? Under all that big, bad, old sarcasm, they're really beautiful people.
There we go.
All right. What do you think of Anything But Monday production?
In one way.
What do you think of Frank Norman?
Well, Frank went to my high school. So if I have to give you an honest opinion on him, well.
What was Frank like in high school?
Frank was Frank. If you know him, then that's exactly what it was like.
You want to be a bit more specific?
No.
What do you think of their magazines?
I think the magazine's cool.
Cool?
Yeah, definitely. Throws a little humor on the Drew people. I think it's too bad that all the furor that's gone on about the magazine. It's really disappointing because it's such a good thing to have at Drew, and it's really too bad that the judicial board had to screw everything up, and then all these bleeding heart liberals and all their garbage.
You?
What? What about me?
What do you think about Anything But Monday Productions?
I think it kicks some ass.
Yeah?
Yeah, basically. But I must piss now, so I'll just say goodbye.
Yes, there you go. Just some random students. Random students from the old days of college.
Oh, that was classic.
Just some random people. Now, of course, the first girl that was talking, what was her name again?
Deb Azarian.
Debbie. She was talking about being our RA, our resident assistant, talking about how we actually had corn stalks on the floor.
I wanted to tell the story because I had this down. Tell this story. This is more of our real life insanity, real life true adventures of Mike and Frank. How we came to have these corn stalks in our quad.
And I have this on video somewhere, which I will put on eventually.
This is actually a true story. Our room became a tourist attraction. Like, you didn't go through the university without stopping by to see our room. And I got to give the setup to this because, of course, this goes back to me getting to my limit with Frank. Because there's many things that Frank, living with Frank for a year, that he just used to push me to my limit. And it was toward the end of our first semester.
Yes.
You know, it was getting near Thanksgiving. Where I got the room, we're supposed to keep the quad clean. They do dorm inspections back in the day, or they fine you if you don't keep it clean, and particularly the bathroom, but they also check to make sure your room is clean enough and you're keeping it up. Well, of course, Frank never lifted a finger to clean a fucking thing, ever. I always had to do the cleanup. I cleaned the shower and the toilet and everything else, and of course, you know, dorm toilets and showers aren't the cleanest thing. And I'm cleaning up all the hair and all the kind of shit that comes off of Frank's body, which is nasty, you know. And one day I come into the room and he's got more of his garbage all over the floor and he doesn't empty the garbage can. I said, that's it. I said, Frank, I am not cleaning this room anymore, and I'm gonna live like a pig like you. I'm gonna anytime I have garbage, I'm gonna throw it on the floor just like you do. Laundry, I'm leaving like I never, like leave it like you do. I am not touching another thing. I am not cleaning this room until you clean it up. It stays the way it is. Okay. And I said the only thing that I'm going to clean is because I don't want to fail bathroom inspection.
Yeah.
I will clean the bathroom because you can't do that because we get fined. It was like a lot of money too. It was like 40, 50 bucks. If the bathroom was like, if it wasn't clean. And back then, that was a shitload of money.
That was a lot of money back then.
It was something like that. It was like a lot of money, but the bathroom was like filthy, right? So I said, I'll clean the bathroom. So this is what happens. So for fun, you know, before this whole thing became out of control, you know, one day it was like Halloween, like Thanksgiving coming, Halloween. They have a little display set up in the cafeteria of like, you know, pumpkins and like, you know,
very pastoral scene.
Cornucopias and dried corn,
scarecrows. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. And of course, these big giant dried out corn stalks, right?
It's almost like giant like bales of hay. Like they were like all like wrapped together.
Well, any farmer's market in Jersey have these things. You actually decorate with these things now.
Just giant corn stalks.
So what do we do? We in the middle of one day, we had this bright idea in the middle of like lunch hour. So it's packed cafeteria. And it was like an outside door, like right by the outside door, the exit. So we decide, like, you know, these will look really cool in our room. So what do we do? And we just look at each other and I said, okay, on three, we're going to grab it and we're going to run. Right. And we go one, two, we grab the corn stalks, like a whole load of them in each hand, and we just bolt out the door. Everybody watching us, we're like running across the campus with like these huge corn stalks over our shoulders, big. You know, it was like the most conspicuous thing you could possibly be doing, running with like a tree-sized corn stalks on your back. And we just bolted across the campus, took them, we ripped the whole display down and ran across it. And we said, okay, we'll put them in our entrance foyer of our quad, because the way the dorm was set up, you walked in an outside door and opened into two other rooms, which as you heard our RA talk about, you have quad mates who we of course drove out of there.
We had quad mates
and they were the biggest nerds you'd ever meet in your entire life. I mean, they were worse than Frank. You know, 100 times worse than Frank ever was back in the day. And of course, the capper that drove them out, it was the night that at 3 o'clock in the morning on a school night, we did a satanic strawberry yoo-hoo cult ritual. If you remember that.
Yeah, we another late night supermarket run. We went to the supermarket there in Madison and we bought a case of strawberry yoo-hoo.
Right.
And we came back.
And you had this African steel drum.
Yeah.
We had this African steel drum.
drum.
So we sit outside their door.
We're like, look, because we were trying to push these guys out. We wanted to have.
And they wouldn't go. They wanted
basically, just this is in a college dorm. And this is called a quad. So you had two rooms that shared a bathroom, right?
Did I just say this?
I know, but I'm just saying. So these guys were there and we wanted to get them out. So we figured we've been trying all these different methods, like trying to intimidate them. And what were we trying to do?
We threatened them and they played music loud, party, but they wouldn't go. They wouldn't go.
We really were assholes.
We had four of us sharing that one bathroom. It was horrible.
So we decided this is the final straw. We have to push them over the edge.
And our big rationale was if we get this, we drive them out of here, no one's going to live in that extra room.
Yeah, I know.
And we can use it as storage.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we had so much shit piled up that we had stolen and rounded up in different places.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. So we finally, the final straw was the night we did the satanic strawberry yoo-hoo cult ritual.
Yeah. So we basically, we sat in the little hallway between the rooms. I played the African drums and we were chanting, yoo-hoo,
and banging on the drum as loud as you possibly can. You know,
where's my drum sound effects? Yeah, I don't know.
But whatever the case may be, we were wailing on these drums. They come busting out of the room, screaming and yelling and freaking out. The guy's like popping out, a vein popping out of a guy's head.
I know.
You know?
What are you guys doing?
Yeah. So finally, and of course, they complained to the RD, the resident director, which is like a step above the RA.
Yeah.
And we were, of course, in their room the next day. And they were like, you know, but that was the final straw. They left. They found a place to go. And of course, they locked that door so we can't get into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, they locked their door, but we managed a way to pick the lock and break into the room, which we did, and it did become storage and a place to hang out in, but we did get that. Yeah.
Yoo-hoo!
Something like that, yeah.
That's exactly what it was like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yoo-hoo! Strawberry, yoo-hoo!
Yeah,
imagine in the middle of the night you're sleeping. Yoo-hoo! Yoo-hoo!
Yoo-hoo! They got the idea. How long did that go on for?
That's what it sounded like. We were just being jerks. I don't know.
And then so they leave. And so what we do is we decorate the entrance way of the quad with corn stalks. So anybody that were walking, they were walking through a canopy of corn stalks.
Eventually, we couldn't even close our door to our room because it was just there was corn stalks. We remember we had one of those air popcorn machines.
Yeah,
we just left it on all the time. We had a huge paper supermarket bags just full of like popcorn.
I forgot about
that. We just had it was popcorn everywhere. We had Slinkies coming down from the ceiling.
What happened was the way the story goes is that, you know, I just basically would throw garbage on the floor.
Yeah.
On the floor, every paper, ever, and for like months, in 2 months, it piled up and piled up and piled up.
Yes.
And Frank would look for clothes. He'd be like sifting through piles on the floor to find old clothes to wear that were dirty, that were in there. And we had a ladder. I remember this vividly.
Yeah.
That took us up to the loft. It was like a bunk bed. The ladder was like 7 feet off the floor. And you had to climb up there. Like, it was up like the third rung of the ladder. It was like garbage.
It was bad.
So you had to step down, and you were literally waiting up almost your mid shin. It's like just this stuff strewn all over the floor. You could not close the door to our room. So what happened was, when you couldn't get either one of the doors closed anymore.
Yeah.
And we did pass bathroom inspection all the time. They had to wade through that, hack through the jungle, and pass bathroom inspection. But everything, so it was you went through this total garbage dump of shit to get to the bathroom that was immaculately clean.
Yeah.
But everybody would walk by and they'd peer in and they'd like, what the hell's going on in there? Who lives there? You know, and the TV, and of course the TV was going around the clock, a Repo Man.
We never turned it off.
It was on, it was popcorn, everything, the whole place. The people just looked at it, it was like curiosity. You know, and we didn't care. The room was wide open. You couldn't close the door, so people would walk in and we weren't even there sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
And they'd leave notes and they'd make comments, and it was like the whole thing. They went on for like weeks, you know, and we got threatened by the RD. We're like, we're not doing it. I said, I'm not doing it. I said, until Frank cleans the room, I'm done cleaning it, right? So finally, I'll never forget the day. The punchline of the story is, I come back from class one day, and there's Frank in the middle of the room, already five hefty bags full, okay? He's on his hands and knees, just shoving stuff in hefty bags, sorting through everything because he had no more clothes to wear that were clean.
Yeah.
And he got so disgusted by the state of the room, he finally decided to clean it. So at that point, I remember we cleaned that room. I don't know how long. I started helping him clean that room. It took hours. And this is a small room. This is like an 8x10 room.
Yeah.
Something like that, maybe. Okay. I mean, 10x10.
It
took forever. Bags and bags of shit that went out. I remember vacuum cleaning, right? And the stuff was so ground into the carpet.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't get it up with a vacuum cleaner. You know, it was like a layer of slime that did.
I have a video of all this.
It's on tape.
And I'll put this online.
Can you put this online? People have to see this room.
I'll put this online. I mean,
I don't know what made us think to do that, but I can't believe. And this is, remember, a video camera back then was a lot of money. You know, I don't know how we had a video camera that did all that stuff, but we had a video camera.
I had my camcorder. We videoed everything back then.
But I cannot believe that you actually did that.
I cleaned it up.
It was
I've always been very messy. I have my limit. And
he got it because the room was smelled horrible. And the room was smelled like dirty laundry and garbage. Food. We half-eaten sandwich. All right, fine.
Throw it down the ground.
I would just throw a sandwich on the ground and leave it there and everything else like that. It was like, that was that foul. You know, and that was around the same time. Remember that night that I destroyed your VCR?
Yes.
This is another story. Around the same time, for some reason, we're sleeping 7 feet off the ground. Okay.
Yeah.
Frank's on one side. I'm on the other side of the room.
It's like a loft,
right? Yeah. It was like a T.
Like a split level room.
You go to the top, and he go to the left. I go to the right. We weren't sleeping together, but what happened? There was like a little curtain you could pull. Like, you wanted some privacy when you're sleeping, you could pull a little curtain around you. That's how it was set up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you could be like, it was almost like being a little berth of a train.
That's exactly what it was like. Yeah.
So what happens? And if you got up too fast, you crashed.
Exactly.
How many times you smash your head and say, oh, you sit up fast in bed and you smash your head. You had to remember where you were sleeping.
Several times it happened to me.
Because you have to sit up and know where you're sleeping.
Bash
your forehead. So I don't know what happened was, you could basically sit up, but that's all you could do with the crouch.
Yeah.
One night, for some reason, I was dreaming or something like that. I sat up in the loft and I just like hurled myself out of the loft from 7 feet off the ground. And I go, crash.
That was the camera. It wasn't just, you broke you busted my video camera.
I landed on my back. I clipped on the back of the wood as I came down, landed on my coccyx. I landed right on the VCR, the camera.
Like the camcorder
camcorder.
And you busted it.
I'm lying on the ground. You're like, Frank's like, what the fuck happened to you? It's like, I jumped out of the loft. not like I fell out of the loft. I deliberately jumped. I don't know why. I was sleeping or dreaming.
You could have gotten seriously injured. That's a high place to fall
from. If it wasn't for all the shit that was piled, that broke my fall. There was like a layer of garbage. But unfortunately, what happened was I hit the VCR and broke that. You had the brick holding it in place.
Yeah, the VCR and the camera.
And a camera.
And forevermore after that, I had to use masking tape to shut the camera when I put the tape in. You know? I still have that camera, by the way.
Yeah, but that was like another classic moment. Like, what are you doing? My back had this big rip, big gouge in my back.
Your back was... that was a wild time.
That was crazy, man. I don't want to make me do that, but it was nuts that that happened. But that was, again, a true story. That happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
So I was thinking that we can call Dave, our program director, now and have him come in on the conversation.
Okay,
and as we do stuff, we'll talk to him about it.
Okay.
But we're going to be calling California now. All right.
And it's a relatively decent hour in California at this time.
Yes, it's only 9:20 there.
Yeah.
So we're going to try to call him. I got to plug this in. I got to patch it in, almost like one of those old...
Skype him in. Can you see if he can hear us?
Yeah.
So
see if we can get our program director, Dave, on the phone here and see what's going on in California. We'll continue on with a lot of great stuff.
Yep. Nope. Sure. Let's see if he picks up the phone. Time of the night. He's supposed to be there.
Hello.
Yo. Program director.
Hey, what's up, man?
Whoa, you know, you're on the Anything But Monday show.
Welcome to the Anything But Monday show, the show you are program director of.
Oh, great. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so before we go any further, what the hell? What are you doing to promote the show? What's been going on?
I've been working hard, man. I've been working hard as you guys.
Yeah, what have you been doing? I mean, listen.
We talked about like some of the video stuff that we're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
We talked about the podcast stuff that we're doing, and the promotional stuff with the t-shirts and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know what the hell?
Yeah.
You know all the stuff we talked about.
Yeah, we have more work to do.
We have a lot of stuff in the works, and the whole world is going to know about the Anything But Monday show very soon.
So
Dave, what's going on out there in California? What part of California are you in?
I am in beautiful San Diego. I just passed a gas station. Yeah, I just passed a gas station, no lie, regular gas, 306.
Really?
306 for regular gas.
Wow.
306.
And what's the weather like out there? Is it always nice weather out there and all this stuff? Like, it's always 70 degrees and all this crap.
Everybody's nude all the time.
Nude parties.
It was kind of bad weather today. It was like 74. And partly cloudy.
Now, are we talking to program director Crump before or after our alien interview that we did tonight?
This is before the alien interview.
Yeah.
Yes, we pre-recorded the alien interview.
So I should say, I have a feeling it's going to be a really great interview tonight. But
how did the alien interview go?
Oh.
The alien interview, which is coming up in just a little while here on the show, went very well.
Doesn't get any better than this.
Yeah.
Does not get any better than this. Yep, that's for sure.
That's for the premium listeners only, correct?
That is correct. Okay. Yeah.
So I figured, Dave, we're going to do a couple features and see what your thoughts are on it. Right now, we're going to do the ABM Insult of the Week.
Now, what exactly is the ABM Insult of the Week this week?
The ABM, the concept is this is an insult you can tell your friends to tell them off.
Right. Tell them off.
So, Mike did it the first time. I did it last week, and now I have another one.
You have another one?
Mike,
so go ahead.
Mad Mike did not have one this week.
Okay.
So, this is like the era of the Harry Potter generation, right?
Yeah.
You know, and the last Harry Potter book is coming out soon called Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, coming out in a few months.
Uh-huh.
So this is sort of an insult for that Harry Potter generation.
Okay, what is the insult for the Harry Potter generation?
The insult is, eat my pixie junk, fuckwand. Okay.
Eat my pixie junk, fuck wand.
Yes, eat my pixie junk, fuck wand. And that is an insult for the Harry Potter generation. I hope they enjoy that.
Yeah.
And there's your ABM insult of the week.
How old is that kid who's playing Harry Potter now?
He's about 30.
No, he's not 30. He's like 17, and he's like butt naked in Equus right now.
Yeah, he's naked on a
and humping a horse. Great.
He's humping a horse on a stage.
Great. So, yeah. Listen, we want the listeners to get caught up with what's going on with Dave and in Dave's life because, he's got a very, very, very colorful life.
Yeah.
No pun intended, David. I mean, that wasn't an insult. We got into some racial stuff earlier in the show. But anyway, so so how is it, how's it going, man? I heard you have a new woman in your life. So what's going on with that?
Yeah, man, it's going great. It's like a whole new, I've got a new female friend. Yeah, I don't know if we can call her girlfriend quite yet, but it's pretty darn close. So yeah, it's really exciting for me, man.
Yeah, yeah. And what's the catch? There's always a catch with Dave's women. So what's the catch on this one?
Well, Okay, well,
there's two. Tell me what you said. The first time I asked you, there's just two problems. What did you say to me? Mike, I got a new woman in my life. She's great. She's awesome. He tells me all the things you just heard right now, and he goes, but there's two problems. Right. I go, all right, great. And I know what they were before he basically said them. So here are the two problems. Oh, go ahead.
Okay, now the problems are not, they're not my problems. They're not relating to her and I. But
yeah.
They could be problems for other people.
Mm-hmm.
So the two problems are, one, she's 26 years old.
And you are how old? And you will be 41 soon.
I am 40.
Yeah, you'll be 41 soon. He's 40 going on 41.
You're old.
Not as soon as you, but I will be 41
That's correct.
This year, yeah.
Yeah. So she could be your daughter, A, point A.
Well, come on. I mean, like, what if, yeah, if I was 15 out there, you know, having sex, but...
And you weren't doing that at 15 at all, were you?
It is possible.
No, I was not.
Yeah, my ass.
It's possible.
It's possible. Go ahead. Yeah, what black man... Wait, hold on, Dave. What black man do you know that's not having sex at the age of 15? Who? Did I miss something? What's that? Do you watch the news? Go ahead.
I was off the curve there. I was way late.
Way late. Go ahead. All right. Go ahead. Next. And point two.
Yeah. And the other potential problem, again, not for us, but for other people, is she's 26 and she's white.
Yeah. Yeah. Yet another one of Dave's jungle fevers.
I, as you know, am a black man.
Yeah, who's not even as dark as me. So you're skating on both sides of the fence with that one, which we talked about already. So anyway,
well, you know, some people have a problem with that. You know, still in this day and age.
That's how that's how we became friends, because we were friends for like a year, and then someone says, "You know, Dave's black." I go, "Dave's black." And I go, oh, shit. So I was like, oh, fuck. I might as well stay friends with him, you know, at this whole point.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, as I know, your family would have never allowed that if they had known that I was black.
Exactly.
Front, correct?
Yeah, it's quite shocking to them.
We know about your mom and your dad, right?
Yeah, yeah. This is my mom and my dad. This is a classic true example. Yeah, the parents that claim to be so liberal, my parents, right? Yeah. If they're all liberal until it comes to their kids, right? So, like, I have a younger brother who is, let's see, how many years old? Almost 13 years younger than me. So he's the baby in the family, right? And I'll never forget he got his first girlfriend. You know, of course, he's going to those youth church groups. You know, he meets a girl, these youth church groups, nice Catholic boy and everything else. And I've been out of the house for a while. I hadn't been home. You know, I've been living out of the house. I just come back to the house to live home for a while. I was in transition, and I stopped at the house and I get in and I sit down and having a talk with my mom my mom and dad. And my mom's sitting there, and I go, so tell me, Chris has got a new girlfriend. He's his first girlfriend ever. And he's like, my brother Chris, like 15 at the time.
Yeah.
First girlfriend ever. So this is great. I was getting worried he was gay, but he ended up, which is good that he wasn't. And nothing's wrong with that, but I wanted to make sure that, you know, he wasn't.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, great, tell me about her. And then she's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, and, you know, she's very nice, and she's, you know, they get along real well. And she's all kind of depressed. I'm like,
yeah.
What is the matter with her? You know, what's wrong with this girl? And she goes, well, you know, I mean, I said, Ma, just tell me what it is. And she goes, well, you know, she could be a little lighter. And I'm going, I pause for a second. I go, what is she, 300 pounds? All I could think of, I swear to God, I said this. I said, what is she, 300 pounds? I thought she was this fat, obese girl, you know? And no, it turns out she's black. So he goes, she could be lighter.
Oh, man.
She could be a little lighter.
Wow.
I go, how did you raise me? I was like, where'd all that shit go? Oh, all people are equal. You shouldn't this and you shouldn't that. And meanwhile, this is the shit you say about your son and her girlfriend? You know, of course, and she's as black as they come, too.
Yeah.
I met her, right? You know, she's not like, you know, you can't mix. She's not like a Halle Berry. She's more like of a, you know, Queen Latifah or something like that. You know, and that's, and she's really sweet. And the funny thing is I find out about it. Her father's a surgeon, and her mother's like a lawyer, right?
Yeah.
So in essence, basically,
she's one of the Cosby kids.
Yeah, she's slumming to go to our house. Yeah. Ma, they're laughing at you. she's slumming to go out with it, whatever. They're probably talking about the same crap about him at home, you know? So that was the whole whole experience. Like, my parents aren't as liberal as we thought they were at the point. That's why they probably like Dave, because Dave couldn't. I don't think I ever told them they're black after that. So anyway, what did your mother used to say about when I used to hang out with you, you know, all the time?
Oh, you know, she's kind of like, oh, you're not going to go sliding around with your old white hoodlum friends tonight, are you?
White hoodlum friends, the bad influences in his life, you know?
And I'm like, I'm like, Mike's a good guy, you know. I met him at work. He's a good guy, you know. Yeah. So, you know, that we just have to, you know, they're old school, kind of like your parents, and
yeah,
you know, it's not going to be a problem for my lady and I. But
what happened was you were upset the first one you dated, the first serious relationship you had for a long time was white also. Right.
That's right. Right. Yeah,
and then,
Jennifer,
and they gave you crap there. About. They gave you some crap about that. What did your mother tell you before you went out to California? What words of wisdom should she impart with you before you left for California?
Oh, okay. So I had been dating Jennifer for like 2 years or whatever.
This is the first white girl. Yeah. Okay.
Shortly after that, I decided I was going to move out to California, and my mom took me to lunch, and she said to me. She said, "Well, I certainly wish you a lot of luck, you know, and hope you, you know, find what you're looking for and live out your dream. And I hope you meet a nice girl, a nice black girl."
Nice black girl. he stuck that in.
And she just looked like a 1 second pause, and then she had a nice black girl. I was like, "Mom, you know, I was like, where's this coming from? I thought you liked Jennifer, you know." And like, "Oh yeah, I did, but you know, no more cream into the coffee."
And you just told your dad about your recent conquering with this new girl. And what did your dad say?
Oh, well, you know, dads are cool. He's like,
dad is the coolest guy, man. He perks right up. He loves me for some reason. So every time I call, like,
he does love you.
Every time I call at Dave's house, it's like, he picks up the phone. He's like this depressed, beaten down black man. And as soon as I go, hey, Mr. Crump, it's Mike. Hey, Mike! What's up? He snaps right out of it. He becomes like, you know, like all elated, you know, immediately, you know, like all happy and stuff, you know, immediately. But what did your dad tell you? What did he say when you told her about this one, this new girl?
Oh, dude, you know, dads are cool. They don't care. He's right. Like, you know, he's like, "Will you take the 26-year-old white woman? High five, you know?" That kind of thing.
He's happy. He's happy with all about that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, he's happy.
Yeah, so are you still... yeah, okay. So,
seriously though, yeah, they're cool with that. You know, my parents are very, very liberal, and they just want to see me. You know, they're just happy that I'm hetero. You know, my old family thought I was gay. It turns out I was just really, really picky.
Well, gay black don't go together too. That's not a good combination, right? You know?
Yeah, no, definitely not.
Well, anyway, so that's cool. So, you know, and you know, any you know, you got you, you what are you? Are you still abstaining with this girl or what?
What's that?
Are you still abstaining from with this girl yet? Or, I mean, you still practicing abstinence?
Oh, man, yeah. Well, I mean, it's real early in the, you know, relationship. So, yeah, definitely, man. That's, you know, it's something that I'm
What happened to you, man? You used to be so, like, I used to be so envious of you, man. You know? What happened to you, you know?
What were you envious of?
No, man, you know, you used to get all these women at the theater, and you used to come out and talk about all your latest conquerings, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and you used to be so proud of it. And I was like, oh, man, I'm going to get women like Dave did and everything else, you know.
You know, living vicariously through me.
Exactly.
You know, you're 40 years old, man. You can't, you know, you need to get on with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're married, man. You're married with a family, a beautiful house, you know, a beautiful career, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful kids. You got all that.
Yeah, I'm envious of you, man.
Beautiful podcast.
Beautiful podcast.
Yeah, podcast. There you go.
Yeah.
Don't forget the podcast.
You have a beautiful partner there, Frank Nora.
Yes. Yeah.
And beautiful.
So, anything else you want to share with us before we leave, Dave? Any parting words for the listeners or anything you're working on, or what do you want to share before we let you go when we get back to the show?
I just want to encourage all the listeners, all the freeloaders. We
ditched the freeloaders already; they're gone.
Yeah.
Oh, did you? Okay.
We gave them old heave ho.
Speak in terms of like the people that are with us now are people that are paying for the show. So we want to encourage them to go out and spread the word, because actually some of our listeners have started doing that already.
Yes, they've started spreading the word.
They started blogging about us, talking about us, you know, right? So,
beautiful.
You know, we want more to happen.
Yes, Mr. Bunny Dave from England put a link to the Anything But Monday show on his blog. And we're getting lots of links back from that. So,
Mr. Bunny?
Yes, Mr. Bunny is helping us out.
Yep,
he's not a real bunny, is he?
He's not. No, he's not an anthropomorphic animal. No, he's not.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, he may be, but we don't know.
It's possible. They do a lot of things over there in England that we're not aware of.
Yeah, yeah, we don't.
Yeah,
we don't know what goes over there across the pond.
No.
So, okay.
Anyway, well, Eamon, thanks for checking in and being up late. Well, you're not up late. You're just going home. You know,
it's
we're
like
up
9
late.
O'clock over there. We're late here.
But anyway, yeah, don't forget, don't miss the alien interview. The really something
that is coming up in a little while. Alien interview.
All right.
All right, I will. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks a lot.
Talking to you. Man. Talk to you soon.
All right, bye bye.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Later.
Down this lonely road I travel. With my pockets filled with dreams.
All right. So checking in with our program director, Dave, there. What is these noises?
I don't know. Was I eating something?
Whoa.
What the hell do you think you're doing?
So it sounds like he's having a lot of fun out there in California. We got to go to California at some point. Hopefully we'll go to this podcast expo later on in the year.
But hopefully.
We're going to be hanging out.
We're going there. We're going there. Anyway, I think I have here in front of us a really cool document I got in the mail.
Yes.
It's actually the legal documents.
Legal documents?
Legal documents confirming that we will have an official trademark on Anything Monday Show. Anything Monday Show is officially going to be trademarked, and so is the first podcast worth paying
now
for.
Now you're thinking we're going to be able to put that little circle RE thing on there?
Yeah, it's going to actually be a real trademark signal.
Federally.
Federally registered. So if you
registered with the federal government,
it is a federal offense that if you use this word, this with our Anything Monday, and we'll get to that later if we have to.
Now, what about Anything But Monday? The girl band.
that's why we're covering all bases. All right. Anyway, but the cool thing about it is this. What I found interesting is that we are under a certain category.
Yeah,
we are referenced under for entertainment in the nature of pre-recorded, sex-oriented, joke-oriented, insult-oriented performances in the form of audio casts playable, typically on iPods.
Is this not really sex-oriented? We don't talk about sex that much.
We are under the category of for entertainment in the nature of pre-recorded, sex-oriented, joke-oriented, insult-oriented performances in the form of audio casts playable, typically on iPods.
Sex, jokes, and insults. There you go.
We did have
the insult of the week.
Yeah, so. We did the insult of the week.
That's good. Now I do want to talk about this. We talked about this last week. You said that I may be partially responsible for 9/11. I strongly reject that argument.
Reject it all you want. But
in our magazine that we published back in 1989,
which you heard people talking about, you know, in the interviews.
Yes, in that interview, that was the magazine they were talking about. They loved the Anything But Monday magazine. Well, here is the episode, not the episode, the issue.
Look at the picture on that back of that issue.
There's a picture of us.
You want to see a horrific picture? That's the one to put on.
That's a lot of acne on my face.
What the hell is grown on your face, man? You know, lance that thing, man. But you put that's a hard picture. You got to put that picture on.
I got to scan it. You know how long it takes to scan this stuff, man?
That's scarier than the one that we did at the after party. That's for sure, you know. So,
is it going to be a new trend? Bad pictures of Frank, a new feature. I have a lot of bad pictures. I'm not very photogenic.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, on page 11 here we have a feature, and we talked about this last week, and we don't want to share this with the free listeners, partially because I don't want to get in trouble. But we did not have this in front of us last time, and we described it a bit wrongly. So I want to describe this now.
Okay.
This does relate to 9/11. It's very creepy because this was created back in 1989, early 1989.
Right. This is before the first bombing.
Way before. No one had any. And the only person thinking about destroying the World Trade Center, I guess, was me. I don't know.
Good for you.
But I love the World Trade Center, and I miss it desperately.
Oh, shut up.
I loved it.
World Trade Center kiss ass.
No, wait a second. I love it. I loved it. I still love it. Frank Nora's World of the Bizarre. This is the name of the feature. Chapter 1. The best way to damage certain objects. So it wasn't how to destroy things, as we said last week. It is the best way to damage
certain objects.
Yes. So I was not talking about destroying, only damaging. And the art, of course, was by Dave Copperman. And I'm just going to go through. There's 11 things that had to be damaged. For example, you have the best way to damage eyes is a vacuum cleaner. There's a horrific picture of someone's eyes being sucked out by a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
The next one is the best way to damage a neon sign is with pliers. And the artist said, "I have absolutely no idea what to draw for this one, kid."
That's
signed.
The best you can come up with, you dull-witted termagant.
Dave Copperman, the artist, so he couldn't find out.
Yeah.
You know, teeth would be liquid nitrogen. How to damage your mom? You could use barnacles. Damaging a priceless Van Gogh was with phlegm. And you can see this all if you're a premium subscriber. This picture is online. This scan is online.
Right.
Grandfather clock, you would damage with lightning. Mm-hmm. So you can see that it's very sort of quirky humor.
Mm-hmm.
Florida, you could damage with a glacier, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And,
all good fun, all hijinks.
The World Trade Center, you could damage with a 747. There's a horrific picture of
And it looks, I mean, it's a little different than 9/11 in that it's sort of crashing between the two buildings, exploding.
Yeah, and
there's people flying around and the seats from the plane flying around.
And the wings are shearing the buildings in half.
But it is horrific in how similar it is to the actual thing. And I think that it was just, you know.
One of those fun coincidences. That's it.
It was a fun coincidence. And then just to go on, that was just number 8. The other one, how to destroy the Boy Scouts, was with either an atomic holocaust, malaria, or a wolf pack. Best way to damage Cheerios is with sulfuric acid. That's the best one. It's a little kid. He's all sad. His Cheerios have been destroyed by sulfuric acid.
Is that whole page on the premium?
The whole page is on there.
All right, great.
You can look at this. And a final one. This is pretty good. The best way to damage Donald Trump is with an axe. And it says, in case of multi-billionaire antichrist, break glass.
See, even back then, we wanted him dead.
Hiya, Don. Here's Johnny.
Yeah.
So that's the context. I wanted to just give the whole context. The best way to damage certain objects, but really, really creepy. And after 9/11 happened, I didn't. Really, I had sort of forgotten about this, but a few months later when I saw the magazine, I'm like, I was really worried. I'm like, holy shit. And this was back, you know, remember in the year 2002, the year after 9/11?
Yeah.
It was always like everyone had United We Stand everywhere on their wall. They had a big picture of an eagle with United We Stand, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then that died down the next year. So people were standing in line to buy flags.
It was a fad.
It was like a fad.
I stood in line to buy a flag.
Yeah, at Apollo?
Yeah. I stood there in line to buy a flag, and
that's the local flag store here in New Jersey, Apollo.
And I basically I also dropped off food and everything for the people at 9/11, the Ground Zero.
Yeah,
and I dropped off boxes of dog biscuits for the body sniffing dogs.
Nice, yeah,
I did that.
But I'm just trying to say, in that environment, I was very worried about this because I'm like, at that point, it was like a tinderbox. Like anyone, you know, had any like inkling,
they would have lynched you in a heartbeat.
I know. So now I'm even worried about revealing it. But now no one kind of cares about that anymore until the next disaster.
9/11 is just the next disaster. Bush is working on the next one right now. So sooner or later, that's going to come to pass.
Yes.
But anyway, what do we go to next to at this point? Are we doing the horror?
I think we're going to go to our interview now.
Oh, we are doing our interview.
We're going to go to the interview.
You are in for an absolute treat.
The alien interview, and then we're going to come back with a lot more great stuff, including a little. Including a little.
Surprise! There is?
A little surprise for Mike, yes.
Oh, okay.
That's coming.
Well, I can't wait.
After the break.
Is that why you're cute?
That's a new sound effect.
I was trying to figure out why you're trying to.
A bunch of kids saying surprise.
All right, well, anyway, get to that then. Get to the interview, and you know, when you hear this, you're going to love it. So we'd love to hear your input on this and everything else on the forum.
Yes.
And we'll be back shortly.
Here is the interview. All right. We are back.
And I am completely excited. You have my microphone on now, Frank?
Yes, your microphone is on.
Yeah, okay, great. but anyway, this is definitely, by far and away, the best interview we've had since the show started, Frank. You know, and once in a while...
I'm looking forward to it.
Every once in a while, life drops a perfect scenario in your lap. You know, and of all places, you know, I'm at my salon, and what do you know, an old friend is there, and we start talking, and I remember her vividly from back many, many years ago, when she told me her story about none other than alien abductions.
This is a hair salon?
This is a salon.
All right. Just a general salon?
Is it just a general? It's an upscale salon. It's a very nice place.
For hair cutting or for?
It's a hair cutting. But what kind of salon would it be?
I don't know. Like a saloon? Like you go drinking?
No, it's a salon. Okay. All right. Anyway, so it's a salon. I said, you know what? And then, of course, you know, we're looking for new people to be on the show.
Yeah, of course.
And I was like, oh, this is too good to be true. This is great. This is going to be perfect. And of course, you and I know that, you know, we've always believed in aliens and we believe totally about, and we're just disappointed we haven't been abducted, you know,
speak for yourself.
Well, I know I have, you know, I feel like I would love to have that happen. But anyway, but I actually, you know, got a chance to, you know.
So you met someone at the salon.
Yeah, but I know her for a lot of years. And I just like to, you know, she's really cool. And I think maybe she'd be into it. I just, what the hell? I'll just go ask. Right. So I want to bring her on now. I want to have her speak and everything. But I don't want to use her real name. So I come up with a name. I think we can just refer to her for the rest of the interview. And I think a good name would be Princess Leia.
Princess Leia.
So can we call you Princess or is Leia fine?
Sure.
All right. No. So, doesn't either one, Princess or Leia, either one?
Princess, I like that. That's really good.
We'll call her Princess.
All right, Princess. Good. Perfect.
So now, so Mike, how do you know Princess? And hello, Princess. By the way, I am Frank.
Hi, Frank.
You're one of the co-hosts here on the Anything But Monday show.
Yes. Who has not been abducted by aliens and doesn't want to be abducted by aliens?
I do not want to. I'm very scared of aliens.
Please, if
people are.
There's actually an alien tunnel near my home. And it bothers me all the time. And we can talk about that if we have time.
Well, now you brought it up, we're going to have to get to it.
There is actually an alien tunnel. I learned about it online. But
you definitely got to tell me about that.
All right. And if there's anything you can do, Princess, to get, maybe arrange to have Frank abducted, it would be helpful to me because, I really.
That's a good word for him.
All right, I'm not interested in that.
She's connected. All right.
Yeah. How do you guys, Princess and Mike, how did you know each other? When you were you went to the salon, but last week, you were getting your hair cut.
And yeah.
And she saw Princess.
Yeah, she's very familiar.
And how did you know her? From where?
Well, first it was this little bun she had in the side of her ears right away that I recognized right away. Seriously. I just recognized her from the past. Like, she looks really familiar to me. And then she noticed me and she had recognized me and I hadn't been there. Because how long, Princess, since it was there and you were working there?
I started there 20 years ago, actually.
So 20.
So you knew her from the salon?
Yeah, I went in there. I started going there. I started going there about 20 years ago. You know, that's when in my youth, I started going there. So I knew her from like 20 years back.
20 years ago, back when you were like 34.
Yeah. Okay. No, when I was like 60. Yeah. Thanks. So, I'm a year older than Frank, and immediately I'm always like 20 years difference. So, she was just in there. We started talking. And then the rest was just like, let me go ask. She's cool with it. Maybe she'll talk about it on the air.
So you knew her from the past. She worked at the salon. Now, Princess, what do you do there? Your hair stylist?
Cosmetologist.
And
doesn't that make sense? Makeup, you got to cover up
like the cosmos.
Yeah, also
cosmetology with the stars is with an O, and cosmetology is with an E.
But it's still very close. Yeah. Very close. When you put the sprinkles on a girl's face, that's like little stars sprinkling, twinkling in the night.
Well, I think it works out great. So like, because you can cover yourself. Makeup is a good disguise for hiding like marks.
For aliens.
Aliens is perfect. Yeah. So, that's probably
always in the movies, the aliens, they wear these costumes. They look like humans and they take them off and they're this big alien.
Right. And they need cosmetologists to help them out with that.
Exactly.
Exactly. So
It's
all fitting together now. So rather than us ramble on, we have to have our listeners hear your stories, because you not only have a story of one abduction, you have multiple abductions. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
Most people, it is multiple. For people that don't understand abductions, they're not just random. They usually follow through families, relatives, because most of what they do is genetic experimentation.
Really?
Anybody's read anything about it? It's mostly. I believe thousands of years they've been doing this. I believe that's where we came from. I believe that they've been down here and they tinkered with the Neanderthal or whoever was down here with maybe their genes, and here we are humans. They're always looking for the missing link. Well, I think we are the missing link, and that's why most people are taken more than once and throughout their lives, because it's not just a random thing, it's for an actual reason.
No, you're talking about, just to be specific, now we're talking about, so like space aliens from outer space is the idea that they're coming down in some sort of spaceship and abducting people, doing experiments on them, and then returning them home. Is that sort of the general idea?
Yeah.
So you're not talking about like Chud, like cannibalistic humanoid underground dweller, not that person that lives in the sewers.
No.
All right, good. So we got that cleared up.
But I will, speaking of that, supposedly... There's a lot of different races. There's not just one type of alien, and I believe most of it's interdimensional as well. And supposedly there are some that are underground under the earth.
I was actually doing some research, and supposedly there is a hollow earth, and they're saying that these aliens are actually not from outer space; they're from the inner earth.
And right. There are a lot of.
Yeah, it's called Shambhala. Shambhala. And supposedly, we have to find this, Mike.
Right.
There is an abandoned elevator shaft in Manhattan. This is true. I found it online. That goes into the inner earth. So if you find this one particular abandoned elevator shaft in Manhattan, you can go all the way down into the hollow earth called Shambhala. And that's where the UFOs come from.
Have you gone there, please?
Well, this is the thing. I've read about that and heard about it at several different sources myself. To add to that, supposedly there is a whole underground... like a superconducting train or whatever you want to call it, that actually goes throughout the entire world at certain locations that the government uses.
And in fact, that is the one that is near where I live. It's in Clifton, New Jersey.
Clifton, that's right next door to me.
The ITT. ITT is a military contractor.
Absolutely.
They used to have a much larger compound.
I know exactly where that is.
They sold a lot of their compound, and now there's a Target store there. and a supermarket and movie theaters and stuff. But they said right under, and one of the things online, it said right underneath the
What are you, a publicity agent for this thing?
The ITT in Clifton is one of these entrances to the underground tunnels.
You sure not talking about the New York City subway now?
So when you go into Target in Clifton, there, if you go in the basement, you could like walk through the wrong door and wind up in the UFO hangar.
Hey, Frank, you know, I think we should check that out one night.
Yeah, well, see, that would be a good trip we should do in the adventure. Because Frank, you know, I mean, Frank and I used to...
That would be a cool thing to do.
We used to be adventurers all the time. We used to wander around in college and get ourselves in all kinds of trouble. And we actually document it, that on a feature on our show called Reality Takes a Vacation. And it's all about, you know, and it just basically all of us... Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying? Is that what it's called, Reality Takes a Vacation? Or did I just make up a new name?
You made up a new name.
What is it really called?
The Amazing True Life Adventures of Mike and Frank, or Real Life Insanity.
Real Life Insanity, yes. Well, anyway, these are actual, we have all kinds of adventures, and that would be a typical thing we would have done back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, and I think...
We'd be like the Mod Squad, the two guys and the girl, like going after cool stuff.
Yeah.
The Alien Mod Squad. Let's...
There you go.
New brilliant idea. We're putting that down.
To be the ABM files.
I get to
be the instead of the X-Files, the ABM files.
I get to be Link.
Okay. Which one was that?
Well, he
was
the big black guy.
You're Julie, she's Julie, and you get to be Pete.
So there's obviously a lot of information about this stuff, and you know, I go online, I see eight million websites about tunnels, aliens, everything else. But now you, Princess, have had an actual experience.
Yeah, several
experiences.
I've had a number of them.
So let's go. So let's hear some of these experiences. They're very interesting. I don't think I've ever really talked to anyone that had these type of experiences directly. So this is very interesting for me.
It's so funny because whenever it does come public, when people find out about me and they were talking about it, that's exactly what they first say. Like, wow, I never met anybody that really was abducted in real life, and they can't. Like, they're like kind of stunned because I'm like a real life human being. Well, there's thousands of people like me out there, but the thing is, we don't just, it's not written across our forehead, hey, I've been abducted by aliens, because
yes it is. if you have those little sunglasses like in They Live, if you wear those sunglasses, you can actually see that
there's a black light.
Is that actually true, that they actually walk amongst us like that, like in They Live? Is that true?
You know, I want to, on a serious note, a very scary thing that I've learned from Dave Jacobs, who's a professor at Temple University, who has written a book called Threat. I haven't read it, but I've met him a number of times because we have, he's connected with Bud Hopkins, who's a big researcher. Any show you've ever seen on UFOs or alien abductions, Bud Hopkins is a part of, and I've known him like half my life. Now, he says that they've created so many hybrids. I mean, a lot of eggs are taken from women, sperm from men. There's so many abductions. So many people have seen these hybrid children supposedly on board ship. But now he has found out through all his research throughout the world that they have broken down that hybridization. Instead of 50-50, let's say 50% human, 50% alien, you are now, let's say, 80% human, because they keep that half-and-half hybrid person. They've now spliced again with more human. See, and now they look like us. They can interact on the Earth plane and walk among us. But the problem is that they're having, they aren't human, so they don't know how to act. They don't know how to dress properly. They don't know the proper slang terminology as a normal human does. So what they do, they have found out, is they incorporate these real humans as...
They're called Arabs.
Well, what they do is they use these people to teach them through these, like, hypnotic kind of trance states during broad daylight, to take them shopping and teach them how to dress properly, how to speak properly, and they do these like once a week for a couple hours. He had one.
Are these like seminars you can take?
Can we go along with a recorder? Because
I would
love to record that.
There's many groups. If you are interested, there's a few groups I belong to in New York City. There's Disclosure Network New York, which meet once a month on a lot of different authors, speakers, researchers. People speak on all different types of things like this. A lot of conspiracy things, government cover-ups.
Oh, we don't. Well, you don't tell us.
How about the Illuminati? Anything about that?
Totally.
That's our
totally.
Favorite thing.
That's our favorite. The Illuminati is a favorite thing. That's our favorite subject of the show.
Not that they're real, but we can go on for hours, guys.
I want to go to the group where they have the aliens that have the human outside, but the lizards in the inside.
Oh, like on the Illuminati, David Icke, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I want those.
David Icke, okay.
Yeah. She knows what we're talking about.
He says the royal family is lizards.
Yes.
She knows everything.
We have
a new co-host. I want her as a co-host of the show. She's perfect.
Exactly.
Now, I want to, before we go any further, let's clarify, please, Princess. You are not taking any drugs whatsoever. You don't take any prescription drugs. You don't take any illicit drugs. You're not on any kind of drugs whatsoever. And that's the case, correct? Okay.
Correct.
I just want to make sure that people understand that to your knowledge, you're not taking any kind of medication. And
So
is this all true?
I can't even take I have to have a pounding headache to take one ibuprofen.
That's because they screwed up your body chemistry. Now you can't take any of these worldly drugs, right?
No, I like to keep myself healthy, so. Mm-hmm. I take good care of myself. Mike has seen me. We know each other for 20 years.
She is pretty good looking. So if you definitely.
Thank you, Mike.
It's true.
Not bad yourself.
Yeah, thanks, Lee. Thanks, Leah. Appreciate Leah. So she's great. So I have an alien woman that digs me. Is that pretty cool or what?
That's really good.
From now on, people ask me, why do you do podcasting? And I'll say, because alien chicks dig podcasters. That's what I'm.
So what were some of your experiences? How did this all start?
I'm not going to cut you. I'm not saying I'm bad at cutting people off. Okay, I'm not going to do it anymore. All right. Let's talk about your first experience and work your way forward. Just tell us the whole thing, what happened, and work our way through it, and we'll stop you as we get to a good point. All right.
Okay. The first experience that I remember, I was about 5 years old, and that seems to be about the age 4 to 5 where most abductees are taken. I remember, now you have to understand, I just got to preface with saying that they can, number one, you have to understand how they can control your mind. They can make you see things. I think with children, they make you kind of see things a little you're comfortable with. They can kind of go into your mind and see what you're comfortable with.
Sesame Street, things
scared.
Like that?
Like clowns and Muppets? Clowns and Muppets and things like that?
Well, clowns are more scary.
That would make you whatever would make you feel comfortable. So I don't...
Like puppies.
Yeah.
When I had this first experience, I remember actually being taken somewhere, and I remember climbing up a ladder, being surrounded by what I called little people in my mind. But the vision of seeing them is not clear. I do not remember seeing them. I just remember little people in my mind. And I remember that I didn't want to go with them, and I wanted to go back home, and I felt like I was gone for a really long time. The second thing I have to say is, time is not the same here on Earth as it is when you are with them.
That goes without saying. You sure you weren't seeing Oompa Loompas now?
I wish I could.
It sounds a lot like Fraggle Rock, the Fraggles. Those were smaller humanoid creatures.
Well, they're underground. I think maybe you saw the Fraggles. You got him pegged.
Since I've met Frank, Princess, I've always thought he was alien. Now it's been coming confirmed.
Well, then I know the aliens don't know how to dress properly. I was thinking, wait a second.
Everything you described in terms of the people that have no social ability to interact with the rest of society is Frank.
So you sort of found yourself with these beings.
Right.
Right. Now, and I remember being taken somewhere and being in a room, and I don't remember a lot at this point because it's just like a vague memory, but I just remember that I felt like I was gone for 2 days, but obviously I could not have been because my family would have called me missing,
Does your family know this? They know you were been abducted?
They do.
They don't want to believe you.
They don't. See, they know me as a person. They know I'm a very trustworthy, honest, sincere, sane person. But, my mother, I believe, has had experiences, but she's too, scared, I think, to even delve into it. So she just kind of denies it.
Yeah.
Although she talked about Hopkins when he first interviewed us. My sister, I have two sisters, two mm-hmm. older sisters. The one right above me, I believe, also definitely had experiences. But she's a very fear-based person, so she just does her own thing. I wanted to know. I wanted to find out more, meet people like me, and I felt I needed that. And I like to talk. I don't mind talking about it because I think people should know the truth. And I'm really sick and tired of all the friggin' cover-ups because our government. It's really a lot of BS. It really, really is. And
they
ridicule.
Yeah, so definitely Hangar 18 and Area 51, that's all real.
It totally is. And you know what? When the truth comes out, they have no choice but to ridicule it and denounce it and say it's not true because what are they going to say? Oh, yeah, it's true? What? And then all the lies and have... The American public would not trust them anymore. They're not going to want to pay their taxes for these corrupt liars.
We don't trust them now.
Well, no kidding.
So I just want to...
That would make it even worse.
I just want to get back to that first experience and... where you felt like you were with these beings. No, what else happened on that first experience and on subsequent experiences?
The only thing I remember with that particular experience, as the years go on, I remember a little bit more. But with that experience, I remember being like in some kind of room or somewhere where I was by myself, and once in a while they would come in, and the only thing I really kind of remember is one of them coming in with a tray with stuff on it, and I remember just wanting to go home, and that's just a really strong memory of just wanting to go home and wondering why I was there and why I couldn't go home. Remember, I was a really little kid, so it's, yeah. You know.
How did you eventually get home from there?
I have no idea. I have no memory on how I got home or anything, but I have to say that was the only experience that I remember that was daylight.
Mm-hmm.
And I did ask my mother years later, did you ever miss, was I ever missing at any point, you know, when I was outside playing? You know, I figured I wasn't in school yet. My two sisters were in school.
Right.
She goes, no, I always kept an eye on you. But in many, many cases, a lot of people are taken in broad daylight with a lot of people around them, even in cities, parks, daylight, whatever. And what they can do is, a lot of things, how they even travel is through electromagnetics, okay? And they can put, they can have anybody see or not see anything that they want, and there's ability, you name it. Even our own government's working on that now.
Holograms.
Television, all that, believe me, they were doing that years ago. Okay, but, you know, they're not going to let that out to the public because that's their technology they don't want out.
I think that was just Skype. Yeah, your voice sounded strange for a second there. Mike was like, it sounded like a little bit alien voice, but it was just Skype that was messed up.
But that's going to come across great later on. So
now what are some of the subsequent experiences? Because just from that, right, I mean, how did you get from something like that to an experience that convinces you that, hey, these are beings from another world?
So you got abducted at five, and then when was the next abduction do you remember?
Okay, the next one that I remember, I was about 10 years old. I have to also say, these are people are like, well, how do you know you're not dreaming? Well, dreams are not, no matter how, and I've had intense dreams, everybody has, but dreams, it's a different consciousness, and they fade, no matter how intense they are, they fade very quickly.
Right.
Yeah.
These are memories. My physical and mental body went through these experiences, therefore they never leave me. Okay, they're in there for life, forever.
Right.
And I would be looking for years for this place because I knew I went someplace. And then when I was 10, I was sleeping one night, and I was just, I woke up, and I knew there was something outside my window. I sat up, I actually floated up and through my window. Now, if anybody knows anything about abduction experiences, you know, it's not just this 3D physical world, okay? They can have people walk through walls, you name it, they can do it, okay? I went through my window. There was a being. Now, most of the beings are the usual kind that I've seen that are short, with very large craniums, very white, pale skin, and huge black eyes. The ones I saw were like more round eyes, not.
No, you sure that wasn't like
Steve.
You sure that wasn't like Steve Buscemi looking in your window?
It was Mike in the window. That's right.
It was. Maybe it could have been Steve.
But anyway, this time, this one being was a light being. I call it because it wasn't a physical formed entity. It was
like a will-o-wisp.
Made of light. It was not tangible, and I knew this entity. The strange thing is, I felt like I knew this entity from like 1,000 years ago.
Wow,
really?
And I was so elated to see him again. I was just, I knew this soul, energy, entity, whatever you want to call it.
Kind of like St. Elmo's fire.
What?
St. Elmo's fire, kind of like a will-o-the-wisp.
I don't know.
But it was more like it had a physical, like a humanoid form, but it was just more.
You talking about the movie? That was a horrible thing.
Like it's like a glowing cocoon.
Yeah.
Do you remember cocoon? Mm-hmm. Those beings the that old were just kind of floating light.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
The old people were breakdancing.
Yeah. Did you do any breakdancing when you were doing?
Not that night.
No. So basically.
So anyway, yeah. I'll continue. This being said to me. Now I also have to say that all the communication was telepathic. With all my experiences, they're always telepathic. You don't have to open your mouth. It's all, you just think it, and you're communicating that way. I believe that we, as humans, because we only use 10% of our brain, that we have, and we just don't strengthen our capabilities to our full potential.
Yeah.
And they know that we have this capability. So when I'm with them, I can communicate telepathically. I believe they do it with everybody. So anyway, he said we were going to go on a journey, that we were going somewhere, and I was like, really, like, happy and excited. I was like, where, you know? And then, like, we're floating to the back of my house. Now, where I grew up, there was a clearing of a private property, and it was, that part was surrounded by woods. And that's exactly where we were headed towards. And that's where my memory would stop, and I could never remember anything past that. Now, mm-hmm. as I got older, I went through some hypnosis, which is basically just super concentration. That's all hypnosis is, when you're just really concentrating with no other, you know, you're really focusing. And you remember everything totally. You're awake. You understand everything that's going on around you. A lot of people are misconcepted. So I uncovered more at that point because I had such a strong block, mental block, that I'm sure that they put there. And all of a sudden, I remembered being on some, I don't remember seeing a ship, but I remember being on one and lying on a table where I was surrounded by these other aliens, not the light being, that I knew. And there was one particular one that was on my left, and I was really scared at this point. I went from, like, elation to, like, totally being scared and, you know, crying. And I just remember him looking down at me, and telepathically, I remembered something that he said was, "We have the power, we always have the power."
And did he say, did he say, "Don't pay the ferryman," too?
What?
Did he say, "Don't pay the ferryman," as well?
Okay.
That was a horrible song. All right, so he's
oh,
giving it.
Oh God, yeah, thanks.
He's telling you that, and then what happens?
What did I remember after that? I think I went somewhere. Now this is where the memory. I don't know if it's like screen. What they call screen memories, where they put something in your mind to remember that's really not happening.
Right.
And I remember just being somewhere really beautiful, where I thought I saw, like, a crystal palace ahead of me, and all the small aliens were carrying, like, they were getting off the ship, and they were carrying boxes or something.
Right.
And I just remember this one particular alien who was, I call him the head one, that was speaking with me. Mm-hmm. The other ones didn't, where he was asking me things about human beings, like, everyday normal occurrences about human beings. And
How much did you tell him?
Everything.
Ugh.
Now, I don't really remember. All I remember is really thinking that these questions were kind of stupid, because, like, this is a 10-year-old kid mentality.
What kind of question were they asking? Give us an example of a stupid...
I guess, like, what humans do, like, during the day, like, just normal, stupid things. And I remember also, now that I'm thinking of it...
To just sit around on the internet, you know, like, surfing the internet, at home and at work, everything. Yeah. Oh, this was before then.
But when she was 10 years old, there was none of that going on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think back then.
They sit around, they watch the Jeffersons all day.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, we're leaving this planet. All right, so what else? They want to know what humans were doing.
I just remember saying that they would help me and I would help them.
So one hand washes the other.
I'm just remembering now.
What were they going to do for you? Did they give you any kind of powers or any kind of information? What kind of information do you have for us?
I don't really know. Sometimes I do know things that happen, but I think all human beings have psychic abilities. Some people are just more in tune.
Right.
Feel things more than others. You can actually hone it and sharpen that skill. Basically, you're just picking up energies that are always around us.
Yeah.
There's so much noise and static and so many energies bombarding from everybody around you that most people just kind of block them out and don't pick up on it. But a lot of people are very sensitive to it, and that's basically what your psychics are. You know, and that's true. Like, I've had a lot of psychic experiences with myself, but it comes, you know, sporadically. Nothing I can help. Sometimes it's a dream, sometimes it's a vision, sometimes it's just a thought that comes really strong in my head, like a brick hitting me. And I've learned over the years to know when it's coming from an outside source, when something, and I've learned to tell people so that I can say I knew something was going to happen. It's really kind of weird, but it does happen once in a while. But I think everybody has that ability, just some more than others.
So you never actually been hit by a brick?
It just feels like something.
Oh, okay.
So you know how your mind just wanders.
Yeah, well, you know about that.
Normally,
well,
but that happens something on the comes out of nowhere.
That happens on this show all the time.
Like, that
you're describing this show right now. Our minds just wander.
Oh, okay.
But now I have a question for you, because this really interests me, because, you know, all throughout history, people have. There's records in all societies of fairies and demons and people being abducted by demons or going into fairy circles. Do you think this is all the same phenomenon, that people just understood it in a different way back then? And is there any reason to believe that these beings are actually from space? Is there any reason to believe that?
And
other than them just being from another dimension here, you know?
Mm-hmm. Those are two good questions. I've read a lot of things where some people theorize that, yeah, maybe things, stories from the past of fairies or demons are alien abductions and stuff, especially the way they describe them sometimes. as there are more than one kind of race and different kind of looking aliens. There's the tall Nordics, there's supposedly reptilian types, there's the small
Illuminati.
Grays, what should I call them? I don't like calling them that because to me they're not gray-skinned, they're white, the ones I've seen, different kind of eyes. So anyway, I believe definitely, even in that a lot of people say there's stories in the Bible about Ezekiel and stuff. The Bible,
that's also all fiction. That's all made up anyway.
Ezekiel and the wheel.
Well, people have to understand there's stories that are being told by people, and people take it too literally.
A lot of people believe that Bible, though, I heard.
You think?
But people about that Bible a little bit.
So, Princess, I have a question now, because we do want to hear about your continued, as your life went on, what happened? Now, was there ever any physical marks or anything that came from these physical evidence or physical remnants of these experiences?
Not with me in particular. I know. Bud Hopkins has done. I think his first book or second book. I think his first book, he has a lot of pictures. A lot of people have had scars. A lot of them are like scoop marked scars where they take like a little sample of skin and stuff. A lot of people remembering a lot of medical things being done to them, poked, prodded, like I said, ovum taken from women, sperm from men.
Well, that
I personally do not remember anything like that. Or I don't believe I have any scars on me that are from anything from them.
So there was no violation of your body whatsoever you remember?
Not that I can recall.
Damn.
If there was, I'm blocking it.
That's ruined.
Although I was on a table, so I'm thinking something probably did happen to me, but I'm really, really blocking it.
Is that the age of 10 you were at the table, or were you
a
teenager?
That was 10 o'clock. Yeah, that was the 10-year-old one.
Were you ever a teenager on the table?
I was a teenager during another experience, but I don't remember being on a table at that point. But I did have an experience that was pretty intense when I was about 15.
Well, I want to hear that one next. But the one when you were 10, so, yeah, we could get, obviously these aliens have no knowledge of any kind of these, pedophilia laws we have on this planet. So maybe they should really learn about that.
Is there any indication that they're sexually attracted to humans or they're into that? Or is it strictly
experimental?
Are they just little totally sexless creeps?
Sexless
well,
creeps.
A lot of people call them drones because they feel that they're just kind of there's so many of them and they're emotionless.
Really?
Yeah. Like homunculi.
So, excuse me?
Homunculi?
Homunculi. If she knows what homunculi is, she's definitely going to be a host on the show.
In other words.
All right, homunculi.
It's isn't that like a little artificial demon?
It's an artificial construct that like a wizard or something.
A wizard would have. Yeah. It sounds sort of similar.
Yeah, that's a good.
Yeah.
So I see you learn something new every day.
Yeah. Put that in your repertoire.
Yeah, they just seem like emotionalists,
They really don't even care.
Those
little
scumbags.
No, they totally don't. They're just doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Not like if I had you on a table, at least. But yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, especially later on. I mean, I wouldn't have wasted my time scooping flesh off your body. I mean, at least a little bit of, before you go back. But I guess, they don't know.
A little foreplay with that?
Yeah, really. At least next time, say, hey, guys, a little something for the effort. Get up there. At least they could do something for you.
So as you got older, were there more intense experiences that you have greater memories of, details? And especially, did they give you any information that would be helpful to
the
Anything But Monday show or the human race?
Yeah.
Well, Frank,
whichever is more
be
important.
A little psychic, because that's exactly what I believe happened when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
When I was 15, I was again woken up at night, and I knew at this point what was going to happen because it had happened previously.
Yeah.
And I actually tried to go back to sleep. I tried to lie back down, but they're stronger than me, and I just had to obey them, and I got up. And I tiptoed. Now, this time I got up physically. My physical body, I got up in the middle of the night, walked down the hallway. I remember unlocking the front door, making sure that I could get back in. I was very conscious of anticipating, the cold cement beneath my feet, because I'm in my pajamas.
Whoa. Why did you have to make sure the door was unlocked? I thought you can go through walls and windows.
Yes, but this was a physical thing where I just totally went out physically. Wasn't the interdimensional type of abduction for some reason. I don't know why. I'm just telling you what happened. This one was a very physical one. I actually had to go outside myself. They pretty much summoned me to wake up and go outside. And I actually ran down the steps, crossed my driveway, and waited in the street. Now, where I grew up, it was a dead-end street.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, I believe my sister was a witness to this because years later, well, she told me, I don't know, it must have been the next day, but I don't remember until a couple years later when we were interviewed, that she seems to have seen what happened to me. Now, well,
what did she say she saw?
Well, she said that one day she woke up and she said, you know, I had this really weird dream about you, Lee, and she's like, I dreamt you were in this circle. There was like this upside down frisbee.
Sounds like a UFO.
Saucer, an upside down frisbee in the circle.
Oh, that would be a UFO. That would be a UFO.
That's the classic shape of a UFO.
And she
said,
and she goes, there were all these little people around you, and you went into the circle, and you went with them in this frisbee.
Like fairies.
And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. You know.
You're like, yeah, right, to your sister, yeah.
Well, the thing is, she didn't say it was this happened to you. She was like, mm-hmm. I had a dream that this happened to you. So I was like, okay, whatever. Oh, that sounds cool. Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, whatever. You know, she was like, 17? I was like 15 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you recall this? Do you recall going into this circle of energy? And
okay, so like, I don't remember going to the circle. That's mm-hmm. the funny thing. I remember we were maybe one house away from the circle, okay? So I remember going into the actual street under where the street lamp was, which was like maybe, you know, 20 yards or whatever away from the circle, but mm-hmm. I was down farther under the street lamp, and I actually just stood there like I knew exactly, like I had orders, like I knew exactly what to do, where to stand, and I stood there, and then I don't remember what happened next, except that I'm in the same place again on the street, but I felt that I was just up in space in a ship, mm-hmm. and I even feel like I was working on something, like a console or something on the ship, like I was actually doing something on it. And
like
telepathically, I just looked up and I said, can I go back in my home now? I just wanted to go back in the house because I was
like, you were like
more
temping.
Concerned about my family waking up.
You were like a temp.
You're like a space temp.
A space temp.
You're
like a space temp.
But I just want I just want to say for a moment, if you hear these chewing noises, that's Mad Mike eating chocolate covered raisins. In case it's distracting anyone, all right, go ahead.
How dare you eat those raisins?
I need a snack.
I see you're really interested in aliens. You're eating raisins, chocolate covered raisins.
I feel like you know what I feel.
It's a serious topic.
Shut up.
People are being abducted, and you're just eating chocolate.
Shut up. You know. I'm telling you what I'm saying is like I feel like I'm in the movies right now. I had this urge to eat like Raisinets because this is so good. I'm enthralled the whole thing. I can't stop.
Frank's gonna break out the popcorn next. Right,
yeah.
Frank?
Yeah.
Frank doesn't have any popcorn.
Okay, so anyway, I'm almost done.
Yeah, no. Wait, look, no rushing you. Believe me, I'll talk about this all night. This is great. So you get up there.
So anyway,
you work in the control panel.
So I'm in the street, and I remember saying, "Can I go inside now?" And they said in my head, no, first you have to listen to him. I'm like, him who? And before I know it, now I know this sounds really preposterous, but I'm just going to tell it like it is.
Hold on.
Where my neighbor...
Princess.
What?
Nothing you can tell us could be any more preposterous already, so it's fine. This is not going to be anything more preposterous than what you already said, is it?
Okay.
Is it?
A little bit.
No, come on. Let's go.
Okay, anyway, let me continue, and then you can make up your mind.
All right, go.
My neighbor's house on my left should have been, I saw a cliff, okay?
Okay.
Like the edge of a cliff, and on the edge of the cliff was what looked like a robed figure, like a Jesus figure, okay?
Okay, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, and I grew up, I want to let you know, I grew up with like no religion. My family's like totally non-religious, didn't go to church, nothing.
Right, okay.
So this is kind of odd.
Okay.
So I see this cliff with this Jesus figure on it, and he says, or relays to me in my, you know, in English, that what he was about to tell me was extremely important for me. Like, it was imperative that I remember this for the future of mankind.
Okay.
And then, so I'm like, okay, I'm getting ready, and all of a sudden I hear in this huge, loud voice, and it seemed like he spoke for 2 hours in a different language, and I'm standing there in the street, and I'm, like, struggling. I'm thinking, how the hell am I going to remember what he's saying? And it's so important. This pressure is put on me that I have to remember this, and I can't remember it because I don't understand what he's saying. It's in a different language. So I'm thinking that maybe this was like put whatever knowledge that he was saying was put into my mind, and when the time comes in the future for me to remember it for whatever's going to happen, then it'll be unlocked. It's the only thing I can think of that it was. And then when I woke, I remember waking up. All I remember is it was over, and I woke up the next day for school. I was in high school, and I just sat up in bed, and I was like, what the hell? And I remember going outside. I was like, oh my God, I was outside last night? And I just sat there, like, stupefied. And
were your feet dirty?
I remembered, like, the...
Were your feet dirty?
That's a very good... See, you're up on your stuff. Mm. I never looked at my feet. I know that, you know, in hindsight, okay, I would have looked, but I wasn't even thinking of looking at my feet at that point. But I remember as soon as I woke up, I sat up and I knew that something happened the night before and that I was outside. But then when I remembered, like, the Jesus figure thing, I was like, oh, God, that couldn't be true.
It sounds like a wizard kind of had a robe on, like a Gandalf kind of. Could it have been, like, a wizard instead of, like, a, you know what I mean? Because, like a robe and did he have, like, a beard and stuff? Because it could have been, like, a wizard.
It was kind of far away. It wasn't too close.
But I want to hear the information that's critical to mankind. I want to hear.
The freaking wizard talked in a different language.
No, but she just told him. She knows what it is. What's the imperative thing for mankind? Yeah.
What is the? Did you find out what the actual thing meant?
It's not unlocked. I don't know.
It's still locked. It's locked.
That's the best you can come up with, you dumb and termagant.
So anyway, so why?
Damn you, vile woman!
So if they have such an important thing to tell you, so you're saying that they didn't want you to know it? That they you think that maybe like the words are in your head still, and someone could translate it?
When I was under hypnosis once, when Bill Hopkins was, I was reliving this experience. And he was trying so desperately to have me replicate it with, you know, my own voice, obviously, like, you know, blah, 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 whatever. And all I can say was, I kept telling him, I can't, because the way that the words came out, it wasn't like, you know, when with words you enunciate and you can tell that there's separate words that make up a sentence, but it still flows. This was as if it was one long word.
Like that?
Exactly. Something like that. Not as fast, but like... Exactly, just a long, long... Just a flow of syllables. And there was like no break. There was like
Silence!
English. What's wrong with English for these people?
They didn't want me to remember it, obviously.
Can I tell you something? Like seriously... this is the way I view a lot of this stuff, because, you know, I think everyone has experiences with whatever bad spirits, whatever around you. I think that these beings are, they just play games. Like my experience is they're not that powerful, but they, there's these, you know, whatever you want to call them, demons or spirits or whatever. What the hell is that? There's a beeping noise. No, but they love to play around with people's minds.
Yeah.
They love to play around with people's minds. They love to screw with people. So maybe these beings were just screwing with you. Maybe they were just saying, this is a super important thing and this and that. But maybe they're just a bunch of assholes literally just like messing around with you. Have you ever thought that? I'm totally serious about this. That these things are not that powerful and they're not doing anything profound. They're just sick little perverted creeps that are in another dimension that just want to get their jollies by playing mind games with people.
What do you think about
that? That's a theory. I really don't know. I mean, could be.
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like, look, we have an important thing for mankind. Just tell me. Don't play all these stupid games. And to me,
you know what? I think.
Why don't you burn in hell?
I agree with you totally. I know. Believe me. How frustrated do you think I feel?
Okay? Really? How many miles have you logged in space?
Think I feel. I mean, you're getting frustrated. I can tell. But
I'm very frustrated. I'm very angry in general. So, we do a brand of angry, surreal comedy here on the Anything But Monday show.
Oh, this is about as angry and surreal as it gets. All right. So so that was the last time when you were 15. That's been it? They left you hanging after that?
No. Actually, I remembered when I was about 22 and I was first married. I'm divorced now, but I was first married. And where we were living, I woke up one night and this is the first time I ever remember one of them actually being inside one of my homes. And there was one standing in my bedroom about 3 or 4 feet from my bed.
Now, was your husband at the time there?
He was, I was sleeping in the same bed with him. And I was trying desperately to move my leg to kick him, to wake him up.
Yeah,
but I could not move for anything.
Damn it.
I just was totally paralyzed. I know people are saying, oh, the sleep paralysis, you're dreaming, blah, blah, blah. You know what? I've heard all that before. Like, give me a break, okay? Yeah. But that's all I remember is one standing in my room at that age.
And then
what
happened?
Very scary.
Just watching.
I don't know. I never was like hypnotized for that experience because I had forgotten about it until, which is kind of strange because I knew Bud Hopkins. I first met him when I was 21, and this is about a year later, and I totally didn't even remember it until years later, which is kind of strange.
Mm-hmm.
I totally forgot about it.
That's crazy. That's amazing.
So, any other sort of experiences that stand out that are sort of different? That's sort of any other information or any other?
It was 22 the last time
that I can remember. I've had about a year ago. I had about a month, I think it was like last January, February, that there was like a few times where I felt that something might have happened. I don't know if they were just dreams. They might have been, but it was weird that I had like a little like flurry of them, you know, at the same time, like within a month. But I really can't say anything. A lot of people say that now that there aren't as many, or maybe after a certain age, because you're not procreated. Basically, like I said, it's genetics. They take eggs and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe when I was younger, they took eggs. Who knows? I have three children. My first baby had an abnormality. I had to terminate, which is kind of odd. I don't know. It's kind of natural to happen, but I'm just saying with me and everything, who the hell knows?
Do they have any antennae or anything like that, your kids at all, or no?
Not that I know of.
All right.
Now, let me ask you this. Now, what is your prediction? The coming years, a lot of people are talking about the year 2012 is when the aliens are coming, the world's going to end or something, and, of course, lots of things happening. What are your predictions for the next few years? Is this going to come out? Is this information going to come out? Is it going to be public? The alien information, the tunnels, the UFOs, Area 51?
I wish to God more than anybody on this planet that it would, but unfortunately I don't believe it will unless for some strange reason they feel the need to become public. Like if something, I believe it's something really dire to the, something really bad was going to happen to Earth. Let's say there was going to be like this huge asteroid that was going to be coming and destroy Earth.
Yeah.
I believe then they would intervene and something would happen. But I believe that they can do more by being covert. I believe they totally, totally have, you know, they've been working with our government for years. There's actually supposedly a lot of aliens that work with our guys.
We have one in office right now.
George Bush.
What?
Him and his team of aliens. We have one in office right now.
Scooter Libby. That's not a human name. That's an alien name.
Please.
So you don't think it'll necessarily come out that this is all happening, that all this thing?
Unfortunately, I don't believe it will unless something is going to happen and it's going to be, like, our government will never come out and say anything. Because what they're going to say, oh, we've been lying all this time to you guys?
And
that's not going to happen.
One final question. What's your thought? What's your take on the idea that this whole alien, all the alien stuff and all the abduction stuff is all just done by the Illuminati, and it's just a cover-up for their own plans to take over the world. And,
oh, my God.
And none
I
of it is real.
One woman. Okay, this disclosure group that I belong to is also, it's worldwide, even though we meet in New York City. The people that live in the area, obviously, but there's people who can join all over the world. Well, there's this one woman who insisted that all, 100% of every abduction that's ever happened was the military.
Or the Illuminati, whatever.
Now, I was offended by that, because I was like,
I would be too.
Military can make me float through my window and all this other crap.
Well, yeah. Well,
and I wrote back to her back and forth. Meanwhile, all the other people that's part of this, you know, it's a public email, and it goes to the entire group. It's on a Yahoo group thing, so everybody's getting it. And she insists, I'm like, how dare you? How can you even say
that? Damn you, vile woman!
Exactly.
You know. Anyway,
who the hell are you to tell me what happened to me? Yeah. And I said, why would the military be so interested in a 5-year-old girl from Little Falls, New Jersey?
Exactly.
They can't even get body armor for the soldiers in Iraq.
Exactly.
What are they going to have this child abduction policy?
No, but the last thing I got to go before, I know she's got to go. We kept her a long time, but you know, the whole alien autopsy, fact or fiction, was that real or is that totally fake? The alien autopsy thing, and when you see that kind of stuff, do you get insulted, or worse yet, do you ever recognize anybody you know?
I get disappointed because I really would like some more truth to come out. And Stephen Greer actually has over 400 witnesses that are military and government pilots, you name it, that are willing to speak out and put themselves forward at their own sacrifice to say how much of this is true and what they know.
Wow.
And it's called Project Disclosure, and you know, that's, he wrote a book. I haven't read it yet, but it came out, and it's available to anybody. He bases himself more out of California, I believe. It's just a shame that the cover up is like, you know, okay, ridicule anybody. Any truth that comes out, they will cover up and ridicule. And I believe a lot of truth comes out. I mean, on the news, our own news, last year, remember in Mexico, the military had 11 ships on radar, which they showed on Eyewitness News while I was cooking dinner. And you know what? A minute later, as soon as that was off, the newscasters, okay, let's go to our next story.
What the devil are you talking about?
American Idol contestants.
The military have 11 ships on radar, but visually the pilots didn't see anything, and they're trained. That's what they're trained for. Nobody cares. Nobody They're like blind.
I want her as a regular on this show. That did it. After tonight,
we will have her as a regular.
We'll have to have her as a regular. We'll have to put her on the payroll. But,
all right. Well, Princess, thanks a lot for being on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
We will get some more stuff in the future.
Yeah.
Cool. And we have to definitely go tunneling.
We will.
Tunneling, yes.
We will do tunneling.
Finding the tunnels. But
okay,
they say the people that go in never come out.
Well, we'll take that chance.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, that was the interview.
How
did you like that interview?
That was unbelievable.
That was very interesting and very scary. I actually am very frightened by this whole alien thing. I do not like aliens.
I was frightened how her voice just like basically turned it went alien on us twice.
That's just Skype. The data,
yeah,
the data
sure
stream.
It is.
Look,
sure it is.
I don't like the whole alien thing. I hope it's not true. I'm scared of it. I find I find it very unpleasant. But so she had those experiences, and it's a mystery. It is a huge mystery.
How do you like date a woman like that after that? You know, if that's got. I mean, how do you want? Do you want
they
to be,
say a lot of people have gone through this experience.
Do you want to be sleeping like somebody like that? That one minute's there, the next minute you know, they're being abducted, or you're right next to them, or paralyzed and you can't move.
Millions of people say they've had these experiences, so it's very common. So you know,
I can't believe they're violated. I mean, she didn't remember being violated by these people.
I mean, from what she said, it was like once when she was 5, once when she was 10, once she was 15, then she was 22.
What happened every 5 years?
Yeah, it wasn't like they like hurt her or anything. They just sort of like they made her like sit there and like run the navigation board and the Enterprise for. I'm just saying,
so like, she get to play Uhura.
No, I understand. It's upsetting that these little creatures are like controlling you. But I'm just saying, I'm sure a lot of other people have like you know a lot more frequent stuff, but.
Mm-hmm.
It's still very, it's creepy as hell. And just that whole thing of like, he was taking me to the woods. Like, it's so scary. Like, this horrible, like, little creature leading you into the woods. Oh, man. That stuff freaks me out. I don't want to think about it.
Yeah.
You know, that tunnel thing is true. Not that it's true. There is something written that these tunnels that are literally like 2 blocks from my house.
Yeah.
Like, just alien tunnels under the ground on this website. It just pissed me off because I hope it's not true.
And why are we not exploring those tunnels? Let's go. Because why?
Because we're cowards. Yes. We're cowards.
All right.
So what do we got? We
best you can come up with, you dull-witted termagant.
It's getting late. We have to wait until tomorrow, but we have a lot more stuff to get to, of course.
What are we getting to next?
Well, I thought we could get to the piss-poor movie trailers.
I've been waiting for this.
One of our favorite features. Here we go.
Is that the surprise?
Oh, we should do the surprise first.
What is the surprise?
People have been waiting for that whole interview. It's time for a new feature here. Let me get the camera ready. A new feature here on the Anything But Monday show.
Called?
Pointless Greetings.
Pointless Greetings.
Yes.
So
here we go. Pointless Greetings.
Is an envelope being handed to me, addressed to me of Mike. It's
yes.
Mike on it.
It
and
is.
And it's a little nice little flowery
Wait,
card.
Describe the envelope. It has,
yeah, the envelope's
has
a little,
dandelions
it's
on
a little
it.
Dandelion. One of yes. those little pussy willow like dandelions. The wind blows off of the little
yeah.
things. And
so this is the pointless...
Pointless greetings.
Pointless greetings. And I licked it with my own saliva to seal it.
And I opened it up and this little puppy dog, little golden retriever, a little lab, lying there.
Looking very sad.
Very sad.
A little sad doggy.
Yes. And it basically says, Christian Expressions on the back. When the message really matters, for those hard to understand times... Mike, may God surround you with his peace that passes all understanding. Your pal, Frank. March 7, 2007, ABM 4 recording. And here's the quote on the bottom. Quote, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, the Philippians 4:7. So thank you for the...
Pointless greetings
on the show.
A new feature, pointless greetings. Hope you enjoyed that.
You're going to spring a horrible card on me every time we do this show?
Christian greeting. Come on, was it Christian expressions?
Yeah, Christian expressions.
So how did you like your pointless greeting?
Frank, that was great. Thank you for my greeting. We might even like this might even be an object we give away one of these days.
Well, you know, that pointless greeting could be very, very valuable.
Right, well, I'll definitely sign it one of these days, but that's pointless greetings, so that's great.
Great new feature on the show.
Great new feature. Thanks for coming up with that.
Yeah, no problem. So now we're going to get to our piss-poor
movie trailers. Now, these are movie trailers that Frank had located online that are totally piss poor, obviously, movies. And I have no idea. And he's going to come up with three movie titles or plot synopsis. And I'm going to try to figure which the actual real movie of the of the three is.
Obviously, there's been a lot of movies. True or false, there's been a lot of movies made.
To be true.
Yeah. And most of them have trailers, and a lot of them are piss poor.
And do you have, like, buzzer for this if I get the wrong answer queued up just in case, ahead of time? So,
let me see about my buzzer.
Yeah, you have it. Okay.
Oh, that's a better one.
That's a better one. Okay.
All right. So I'm going to give Mike the name of a trailer. These are not very well-known movies. And then three possible plots.
And I'm going to try to figure
out. And you can play along at home to try to figure out which one it is.
Okay.
And we will see. And then we'll play you the trailers.
Okay.
And we have three tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is quite annoying. But anyway.
All right. So what is the name of the title?
The first one is called Crash Dive.
Crash Dive is the name of the movie.
Crash Dive.
What is Crash? Let me start. Give me the plot synopsis.
Possibility one, after a stock market crash, stockbrokers turn jumping out their windows into an Olympic sport.
Okay.
Option two, treasure seekers find the undersea wreck of an ocean liner from another dimension 100 times the size of the Titanic.
Mm.
And Crash Dive, possibility number three, drama and romance with the crew of World War II submarine USS Corsair.
It's got to be three, man. It's got to be three. Is it
yes,
three?
Yes. It is. I don't have the ding sound effect.
What was it? Read that again. That synopsis.
Drama and romance with the crew of World War II submarine USS Corsair. And now we're going to take a look. I'm turning the screen around so everyone can see
it. Can you make it bigger so I can see this more? Can you make it bigger or no?
Yeah, because it might make it stutter.
Okay, go ahead. Let me see. This is called Crash Dive now.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
It's a direct hit. It's
the burning wreck. A happy beginning. Boats blowing up.
It's a direct hit. It's 1943's biggest hit. The thrilling and awe-inspiring Technicolor epic, Crash Dive. The screen's most vivid, most graphic picturization of the breathtaking drama and heart-stirring heroism of the men who man America's submarines and the women who wait for them. A story written in steel and fire and daring. Crash Dive, blazing with pulse-pounding action.
Oh my God.
Sparkling with joyous romance. Roaring with exciting adventure. Filmed in glorious Technicolor with authentic reality at the United States Submarine Base at New London, Connecticut. Crash Dive, starring Tyrone Power, now Private Tyrone Power of the United States Marine Corps, in the finest performance of his outstanding career.
Yeah.
With beautiful, talented Anne Baxter.
Beautiful.
More charming than in the Pied Piper. Dana Andrews. James Gleason. Dame Mae Whitty. Henry Morgan.
Henry Morgan.
Ben Carter. And a huge cast.
And a huge cast.
And a token black man.
And now there's this girl and a guy in bed.
Good evening.
Such bad acting.
Small world, isn't it?
What are you doing in my berth?
You know that I was just about to ask you that same question.
His finest performance.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to call the porter and have him put you out.
I would do that if I were you.
And they're in full-length pajamas.
Set up as a regular shooting gallery. Only the target is bound to shoot back. So we're going to have to accomplish our mission in a very short time and on a split-second schedule.
Oh,
Mr. Stewart will be in charge of the landing party.
This is horrible.
I'm not going to ask for volunteers. I know you all want to go. So I'm going to ask only the unmarried men to raise a hand.
An American cavalcade of courage.
The mightiest motion picture entertainment. Crash Dive, filmed in Technicolor. In New London, Connecticut.
Oh my God. That was piss poor.
I passed that submarine. They just closed that sub base a couple years ago. There's a whole big news story about that. All the jobs went out the window.
Filmed in, what was it?
Vivid Technicolor.
In actual reality.
Yeah, that was a horrible... horrible movie, 1943. That's the American propaganda for the war.
Yeah,
yes, now absolutely. Private Tyrone Power and his finest performance ever. Tyrone Power. And Henry Morgan.
And a beautiful Ann Baxter. Yeah. She was real.
And the token black guy and a cast of thousands.
Yes.
Henry Morgan, he was like Colonel Potter as a young guy.
He was in MASH, yeah.
Yeah.
So here's our next one.
Okay.
This is a really annoying trailer. But
what is the name of it?
It's called Blondie on a Budget.
Blondie on a budget. Okay.
And here's your three possibilities of what it could be.
Okay.
Possibility number one, Dagwood and Blondie argue over buying a fur coat. The Trout Club and Dagwood's old girlfriend.
Okay.
Possibility number two, Debbie Harry and gang in a Reaganomics era concert film. Blondie on a budget.
Okay.
And possibility number three for Blondie on a budget, little known sequel to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, where Blondie faces the rigors of suburban life.
That's a good one.
The only other reference of Blondie I can think of.
I really wish it was number three. I really do. Because I'd love to see that movie.
Yeah.
But it's got to be number one, of course.
Yes. It is number one. And
you can only imagine the hard acting we're going to see in this one.
This is one of the worst I've seen. But
Blondie on a budget.
Blondie on a budget.
All right.
You say when Blondie's budget starts busting at the seams, it's usually because she's trying to cover something.
I don't know.
Like her figure with a fur coat. And at the same time, cousin, you need $200.
God.
Why would you want $200?
Yes, why would I want $200?
Because I'm a cow club.
Sounds fishy to me. But nonetheless, the crisis begins.
Oh, my God.
And then your old girlfriend, Regis Hayworth, drops by to help things out.
Regis Hayworth?
Wow, you really had an overprivileged youth, cousin. She had humbler beginnings than I thought. Don't take it so hard, Blondie. Be glad Dagwood used to play in the big leagues. But instead of going fishing like you promised, you take Rita to the movies.
Oh my God, this is so annoying.
Then your big screen-sized guilt complex grabs you, and all you can see is Blondie.
Oh.
And your old pal Marvin gives you
this fish
to square things.
He gives you holding a trout. A guy comes by in a car and hands out trout out the window.
Carry them?
Sure.
Here's some trout.
Where's your Creole rod?
But the police find your fishing rod and creel where you left them in Lover's Lane.
Lover's Lane.
You left your fishing rod and creel, Lover's Lane.
What?
And does your confession
in separate
convince
beds.
Blondie?
Of course.
It sure convinces me.
I went to see a picture show. After we got in there, I saw you all around me. And I knew you weren't there, so I got confused. Suddenly everything went yellow in front of me.
But to salve your conscience, you decide to go in
hot
for that
fur
shopping.
Why are they in separate beds?
And you get Rita to model the coat so you can
That's how they did it back then.
Look on Blondie. You keep telling yourself.
I go for
Blondie
Rita Hayward.
Catches the act.
Yeah, she's pretty good.
Well, you know what a woman would think.
The camera going back and forth.
They're giving like the whole movie in the trailer.
This is the movie.
Here you are, lady. A ticket and a half for Reno.
Thank you.
So in a fit of pique, you decide to get loaded. Now a true bon vivant opens a bottle of champagne.
That champagne just shoots the
pooch is in the poop.
The dog is drunk.
That is called the AAA, cousin. Alcoholic Airedales Anonymous.
Oh, my God.
The dog is in
you
slow motion.
You don't know if there's a happy ending, cousin?
Cousin.
Richard, I said get out. You hear me?
How could it miss? And we'll be there with Blondie on a budget.
Oh my
next
God.
Time.
It's awful.
Hang over anyone?
Oh, no, oh my God. What a piece of crap.
I'm sorry. That was long, but it was so funny.
Oh, dude,
hey, cousin.
No. It's like Buddy. It's a drunk. Like Buddy Hackett.
And you go to the Trout Club, and then you take your Rita Hayworth to the movies.
And you left your rod and creel home. And
what is creel?
Creel is where they put fish, a little like a pouch.
Your rod and creel? That's nasty. You're going to hear that like reverberating through your head. Cousin.
I wish you had a happy end. You have to call the AAA.
Yeah, the Alcoholics Airedales. It was so bad. The dog is like, they obviously just made the film slow motion. The dog is just sort of stumbling. That was comedy back then, and that actually was in 1940. That was before Crash Dive.
So that
was humor. Alcoholic dogs was humor back then.
So by 1943, you could appear in bed together in the movie, but not in 1940.
Yeah.
Okay, in their full-length pajamas. Go ahead.
Now, the last movie we have here, of course, is a topic that we must cover on every single episode of the Anything But Monday show.
Yeah.
Apes, of course. This movie is called Bride of the Gorilla. Bride of the Gorilla.
Okay.
Every show we must mention gorilla apes of some sort.
This is going to be hard for me to figure out because it's a very, very broad title.
Yeah, here we go. Option number one, deep in the South American jungle, a man is cursed to turn into a gorilla each night. Mm-hmm. So Curse of the Bride of the Gorilla. Mm-hmm. Option number two, a mafia enforcer's fiance gets involved in a rival gang's jewel heist plot.
Okay.
Bride of the Gorilla. And possibility number three, a nature documentary crew is detained during a coup d'etat in a poor African country. So,
ooh.
There you go, Bride of the Gorilla.
So what were is it number two? What's number two?
A mafia enforcer's fiance gets involved in a rival gang's jewel heist plot.
Is that right?
Sorry.
What the hell is it then?
It is the man that is cursed to turn into a gorilla each night.
Okay. No, why is there a bride involved?
Here we go.
Oh, here we go.
From 1951, here is the
Bride of the Gorilla. Yes. Anyone a gorilla that worked it in.
No man has ever seen this tortured face and lived. No woman has ever known this savage animal but one.
Oh my God, his hairy hands reaching for her.
This woman on a bed. Bride of the Gorilla.
Bride of the Gorilla with Barbara Payton, Lon Chaney, Raymond Burr, and Tom Conway.
Some real actors in this one.
A dramatic story of a strange curse that brought terror to a man.
A romantic
and
story.
Frenzy to a woman in love.
Don't go away.
You do love me, don't you?
Raymond Burr. What is Raymond Burr doing in this film?
He turned into a gorilla, I think.
You're standing in my way. And Dina's. We love each other. What are you going to do about it?
He's the guy that was in Rear Window and all kinds of classics. Was it Vincent Price's smack him?
Yes, I have seen the animal. It walks in his hind legs.
Like a man?
No, like a beast that walks like a man.
Let's go back, Barney, please.
I'll never go back.
I'll never go back, ever.
What's this blonde woman running around the woods? The gun.
Go on.
Kill me.
Why don't you shoot? Can't miss.
Barney!
Terror! That haunts every woman's dreams. Of course,
a black panther. A random black panther.
And draws a beauty into a beast crushing embrace.
I think that's even on camera. There's like hairy hands reaching off camera.
Barbara Payton in Bride of the Gorilla. A Jack Brodeur production. Oh, God.
That was the most... Oh, my God.
These are piss-poor movie trailers.
That's got to be the piss-poor of the night, that one.
But those are real actors. Like Raymond
Burr.
He was like Ironsides.
Lon Chaney was in that.
Yeah.
Raymond Burr. Who else was in that? There's some classic actors.
Yeah, there's some good people. Yeah,
I mean, it's just like, you know, they could get anybody back then to do a film.
Yeah.
Imagine trying to get like one of today's serious actors to do that. We're going to make a remake of Bride of the Gorilla.
Bride of the Gorilla.
You know? So, oh, my God. So we have to wrap up the show soon. It's late, you know, or early is the case. I have work to do tomorrow.
Well, we're almost at a 2.5-hour mark if you want to stop it there. I don't know.
On to the next thing. What do we have?
Well, we have horoscope.
We'll do the horoscope, man.
All right.
People look forward to the horoscope. So we will
this thing.
Get your number over there.
Oh, you have number two?
Yeah.
Wait, we're going back and forth?
Yep.
What page is it on?
It's on page 14.
And I would say I found a lot of my old horoscopes from
old
days.
This is actually in 1989.
Yeah, this is from the same issue as the 9/11 thing.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of stuff happened in this issue. We had cool graphics in here, too. Each sign of the zodiac is like a state.
Mm-hmm.
Who did the art on that? That was really very creative.
Yeah, they were different all the time. But we're going to be starting from the...
Our magazines were very good back then. Did you notice that?
Okay. You start.
Hold on. I got to get that...
Who starts?
You can start.
Oh, my God.
I'll do the little intro and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
And now, on the Anything But Monday show, it's time for your horoscope.
Aquarius. Meet a melting Mexican. Swords and beans just don't mix. Don't give that fake question mark the time of day. Better make room in your dwelling. The government is moving in. Screw a prism.
Pisces. Don't be too mean to problematic-looking people. Devise 106 uses for an unpopular adverb. Try not to feel jealousy when you don't feel jealous. Bees don't live in a cave. You're nice.
Winnie the Worm, for those born on February 29th. Sleep for 13 hours, then take a massive dose of caffeine. Express your sensation of a real fresh clean to a rodent or his billboard. Have a public servant touch your knee. Invite a known terrorist to bathe with your electric hand dryer. Carbon paper will become your arch nemesis.
Aries, try not to shrivel up and blow away in March. Draw on popcorn. No, that metal rake you've been eyeing is not for dandruff, not for your dandruff. Remember, all you are is a circle drawn in dust on the wall. Tape your forehead.
Taurus, tell the folks at the Franklin Mint exactly where they can shove their new line of figurines. You just ripped two relatively useless bags in half. Contemplate your right nipple. Relate Whistling Dixie to your viewpoint on the primeval forest. The Johnny the Mouse idea stinks.
Gemini, you will have a volcano-ish several months. Spell vapor in tiles. Are you not a famous scientist? Think about how much soap you've eaten so far. Play Chinese checkers with an irate bear for a change.
Cancer, don't think twice if you see a duck or other such waterfowl with its feet on fire. You need not need needless needles into your knees. Steer clear of pyrosexuals. Get a credit card for your imaginary friend. It's the gallows for your computer.
Leo, you can start worrying at 6:15 p.m. See the kerosene welding brat. Please, please the police. Derange yourself. You will be raided by your supervisors, so kill them.
Virgo, relax and delve into the general issue of destruction. Go for a natural high. Sniff some pine-scented cleansing fluid. Throw your useless pals to the garbage. Talk to land owls at the zoo. You're sweeter than all the syrup in the world.
Libra, bathe in a sticky, gray, nutritious protein substance such as gluten. Fold your cat. The rubber band is all-knowing, all-seeing, and all-wet. Look in the mirror and call yourself Senor. The Shrike is your main avian.
Scorpio, when you're down and out, remember you can always depend on the porcupines. You're such a fucking fool. Set specific dates for vomiting. Don't neglect your stupid self. No matter what anyone else tells you, don't be embarrassed about having the Black Death.
Sagittarius, unearth some ancient fried eggs. Don't be alarmed if you find a shock of white hair growing from your abdomen. Hey, don't use carpentry tools this month. That sickly sweet odor is the ghost of your chair. X yourself.
Capricorn, your concept of existence is a radioactive king of diamonds. Please visit a cafeteria owned by a dead Indian. In the nighttime, timing is essential. Flatten a perfectly good cone if you're in the mood. And for heaven's sake, throw out the busted spring.
And that is your horoscope for today, Monday, March 12th. Is it the 12th? 2007!
Oh, yes.
So how are we doing here?
That was great. That was great.
We may as well do 3 hours now. I don't know. It's 1:08 a.m.
We have a life. You know, I have to get up. I have actual real work tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care. If we don't double our revenue by next week, I'm quitting this whole venture.
Yeah, me too.
That means we have to make at least $20 next week.
This venture.
Oh, right. You know, again, back to my spam emails. I got another one.
Yeah.
You know, that came the other day. And the heading said, ejaculate like a porn star.
Yeah.
Now, what exactly
happened? I've gotten that one.
How does that actually happen? What exactly does that mean? How does a porn star ejaculate? Is there a specific talent involved with that? I don't know.
I don't know.
It's, can you train yourself to be like a porn star in ejaculation? I don't get that. So I was just really perplexed by that. You get that one too?
Yeah, of course. You get all those. Ejaculate like a porn star.
Well, I learned my lesson last time, so I'm not doing any more of that. So ordering everything.
I guess that means you're sort of ejaculating
like
on
porn.
Film. I mean, you're being filmed while you're doing it. So all they do is they send you like a camera. All right, do it.
Yeah, do it.
Do it on camera. Aye.
Speaking of that, Jack, do you have any news stories you want to? Is that what we want to do? Have we not touched on anything you want to really get to right now? Because I want to go home.
I think we should do some news and then maybe we can get out of here.
Some news and get out of here.
Well, we didn't do analysis of many things. We didn't do super video battles, but
we didn't do the story about some of the listeners that email that it was sent.
Yeah, we can do that next time.
You know, we have a lot of great things.
We have a lot of stuff. But
yeah.
I think it's time for some news.
I did promise, and I got to keep my promise to everybody. I can't do it today because it's a long story. The story of my bachelor party. And really, people have probably been waiting for that. They're probably pissed off at us now that we didn't do it. So we're going to have to pay restitution or something like that and to make up for that. But really, we really have to understand.
Yeah.
You know, when we're making, you know, when we're starting to average what I would say about $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a month, you know, I'll start considering staying past 1 o'clock in the morning on a weekday night
yeah.
to do the show. But not now. So let's do a little news. ABM, the fucked up world we live in.
Yeah.
And talk a little bit about some news. And what do you got?
Well, I want to thank one of our listeners, one of our great listeners, Rule from the Netherlands, because he has sent not one, but two stories about airline employees doing some very bad things.
Okay.
So he found both these stories scouring the internet.
What do you think you're doing?
Rule is from the Netherlands, mm-hmm. and he has found these stories. The first one.
Yeah.
Sex fetish lands baggage handler in jail.
Go ahead.
From Sydney, Australia, an Australian airline baggage courier who stole women's hair to satisfy a sexual fetish was jailed for 2 years and 8 months on Friday. Rodney Peterson, 30, had pled guilty to 50 counts of stealing head and pubic hair from brushes and underpants in women's luggage.
Okay. Wait a minute. How do you extract pubic hair from underwear?
I guess people with their, if you're coming back from a trip, there's some dirty clothes,
well,
right?
Who cares if you take the pubic hair out of underwear?
Women's pubic hair
out of underwear,
like meticulously with like a little.
Is there actually women that actually have pubic hair anymore in this day and age?
I don't know.
That was the old. I want to say something about this. Yeah. You know, I mean, is there any women left that's got pubic hair? I mean, this day and age, everywhere you turn,
I don't know. It's possible.
There's nobody left with anybody. I mean, what is with that today? Why is it so much more attractive not to have any pubic hair? What is that? Is it
it's
a comfort?
Just, it's just a look. It's like a, you know, it's like the it's a fashion.
It's a fashion.
A fashion statement. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
To shave.
To shave. Go ahead.
But the court heard that Peterson, who has a previous conviction for attempted rape, would pull over in his airport courier van and rummage through the lost or delayed luggage that he was returning to Qantas passengers.
Qantas.
He put the hair he found in plastic slips and recorded the owner's personal details in an exercise book. Okay. The court heard that Peterson suffered from a range of sexual deviances, including fetishism, sexual sadism, and frotteurism.
What the hell's that?
That's where you rub against people in public.
What is it called?
Frotteurism.
I have that then?
Or frottage. Yeah, that's like if basically if you rub your crotch against a girl in an elevator or something like that.
All right.
Frottage. Frotteurism.
You do that, though.
No, I would never do that.
You ever inadvertently rush against a woman's breasts?
Ever? It happens occasionally on the subway if you're holding like one of you know
the strap hangers.
There's poles in the middle. Whatever you're holding onto,
like pole dancing.
It happens occasionally, but it's
that's why they have poles in subways.
That's not considered frotteurism.
Every time you go into it,
in which sexual satisfaction is gained by actual or fantasized rubbing up against another person.
Life is like a box of chocolates.
I am satisfied beyond reasonable doubt that you pose a real risk to the women of the community. And the Peterson sentence took into account a suspended jail term for an attempted rape in 2004. So there you go.
and in a related story, right?
In a related story from Minneapolis, so a little closer to home.
Yeah.
Airline employee from Lakewood arrested after flight from Seattle.
What did he do? Nothing. Why would they arrest him?
An off-duty Northwest Airlines employee was arrested after a woman on a flight from Seattle complained that the man had ejaculated on her.
What? What?
This guy's a little more direct. He's not stealing hair.
Excuse me. I didn't mean to ejaculate on you.
Like a porn star. The FBI identified the man as Samuel Oscar Gonzalez. I love how they get these guys' names out. He's only 20.
Give him one of my names.
Of Lakewood. He was charged in federal court with simple assault, a misdemeanor. So ejaculating on a woman on a plane is simple assault.
That's pretty complicated.
It sounds pretty complicated.
How do you do that?
That's simple.
It's pretty simple.
According to an affidavit filed with the complaint, the woman said that she was trying to sleep in her seat when the man sat down in an empty seat next to her. She said he touched her and then got up and left. Then she realized what had happened and told the flight attendants, according to the affidavit. The crew moved the man to a seat near the front of the plane until the end of the flight. Northwest and the crew asked the police to meet the flight from Seattle. Northwest said the employee was an equipment service worker, a category that includes baggage handlers. Another baggage handler.
God, what's happening to my luggage? I'm never bringing anything but a carry-on to an airplane from now on ever.
The FBI said Gonzalez was detained after his initial appearance in federal court.
They'll never get my pubic hair.
So, some trouble at the airport.
I shave my pubic hair as well.
Trouble at the airport. So some of the employees have a bit of sexual fetishes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Well, that's great news. That's great news to hear.
Yeah.
Did you see the story in the paper today?
No.
Web radio stations fear royalties will end free music stream.
Yes, I actually have some insight into this.
Yeah. So what's going on with that?
Luckily, we are not going to be affected by this.
Well, but, of course not.
Some people who do web-based radio shows, not podcasts, but shows that are like streaming on the internet, they're allowed to play actual music. Like right now, we cannot play you any real music, right? All the music we play you, like this song, whatever, right? This is obviously not a song that people, it's called Moving On. It's not a song that people really know about.
Okay. It's pod safe.
It was released, it's a great song. It was released by the people that made it under Creative Commons license, which allows us to play it, right? Luckily, I found all this music. We cannot play a regular song. Like name a song we might want to play on the show. Like, what's a classic rock song we might want to play?
Karma Chameleon.
Karma Chameleon by Culture Club, Boy George. We cannot play that. If we played it, we will get sued because it's illegal. All right? But what they did is, right, because they figure we put it in the show, then you could listen to it whenever you want, just as if you bought Color by Numbers, the album that it came from. Okay? Which actually, I did get that album for Christmas one year. It was a vinyl album. For Christmas, I asked my parents. I guess it was the year it came out. The year that Culture Club album, right, with came out. I asked my parents for it, so they bought it for me, and they looked at the cover. And I guess again, like Dave said, his parents thought they thought I was gay because I was getting Boy George records back then. So that's a great album, though.
Go on.
But so on a podcast like this, which is a download, we can't play any of that music. It's completely illegal. There's nothing in the law for it. We'd have to make an individual agreements for each song with the record labels and the publishers and the rights owners. It would be impossible. But if you have a web radio station, you can play music as long as it's streaming.
Right.
And people can't record it, whatever. And there's a certain royalty set by the government. So a lot of these web radio stations are out there, like Pandora.com and different services.
Not anymore, Frank.
Well, what they did is they raised the rates. The recording industry raised the rates now to the point that all of these web radio stations, if this stays, will all go out of business. No one will be able to pay the royalties to play this music. The recording industry wants to destroy the internet and all the music on the internet.
So what's wrong with that?
Well, we're outside.
More for us.
We're outside the loop because
Frank, you know how I feel about this. Frank, you know how I feel about these kind of things. If it doesn't affect me, I don't care.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, people ruin. Who cares? I don't care.
Well, like you know, Pandora.com. If you don't know Pandora is a great site. What you do is you put in the name of a group that you like or a song that you like, and it'll start playing all music that's similar to it, and you can sort of train the radio station to be like play all the songs that you love.
Yeah,
and it's a great service. And Pandora said that if these rates are upheld, they will go out of business. Pandora will go out of business, and all the other great internet radio stations, even Live365, will probably no longer be able to do music. It is a disaster, but we are not part of that, luckily.
So it's not a disaster then?
Not for us, because we've never been in that. We don't play that kind of music.
No, of course not.
Only safe music.
Only safe music.
Yes.
So here we go. Another story from the paper from the other day. Some expose N-word for what it is, demeaning. So, so anyway, there's been a whole big movement to pledge to get rid of the N-word. And this is quite upsetting to me because now we're banning words that we can't use. Now, there's certain words we're not allowed to use. We cannot use the N-word. You can no longer say things like Nabisco.
Yeah.
All right. And but I don't understand it. What if I came around and said one day, you know what? I don't want anybody to use the T-word. From now on, I don't want anybody to say tuna salad. From now on,
you could do that. Politically correct times.
I'm insulted by the words tuna salad. I want them banned. Let's not say these words anymore. What's next? You start with the N-word.
Here is Michael Richards' tirade. Oh, sorry. I'm trying to find it here.
Is it on the? You have it?
I have it.
Isn't he like? What is he doing now? He's like in therapy, and he's like his career is over. Why? You know, he's gone. He's done.
Where is it?
Hold
on. I keep talking. I gotta log in here.
Forget him.
All right. Forget him. Anyway, he said bad things on the stage, but the problem here is that. It's a word, right? It doesn't hurt people. It's a word. And by giving it this magic power, you're trying to say a word has magic power. No, it doesn't. This is not Harry Potter, okay? You know what I have to say to the people that believe in this stuff and that think words have magic power?
Yeah.
Say, eat my pixie junk, fuck wand.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, see, I used it.
I didn't even read this story today. I just caught my eye right now. Reality shows cast Jerseyans in tacky role. So great! They've dug up Survivor runner-up Stephanie La Grossa, and one of the most popular contestants. But when she returned the next season, it was a different story. At left is the winner, Danny Boatwright. Now that Danny Boatwright bitch, you ever see this chick?
No, who's that?
She's on like celeb TV on the internet. Is the most annoying mannequin, talking mannequin, you know, that I've ever seen in my life. You know, I mean, if you look at her celeb TV.
Who is she?
I'm Danny Boatwright, and here is the news on celebtv.com. I mean, she did that. It's just like she's reading like a robot. You know, she got her fake boobs done after she won the show. And she used to be like this big sportscaster, a sports jock, you know, all of a sudden. And now she's on Celeb TV as the announcer, and she's horrible. Horrible. So Danny Boatwright.
I'm trying to find a video of Danny Boatwright.
Yeah, if you go anything, you know, you'll see it if you go to any of these.
She was on Survivor?
Yeah, she's on Survivor. She won Survivor, actually. But she does all the entertainment stuff now on Celeb TV. I am Danny Boatwright. It's like you know, she's not even real.
Yeah,
you know, it's. I mean, she's just horrible. You know. So anyway, that's that story. But I don't know what that whole story is about that they brought up. But here we go, Frank. Another story that they've collected and kept. It's getting. Yeah. All right. As first gentleman, Clinton could write his own ticket. So I guess Hillary Clinton is going to have a new position called first gentleman.
So instead of first lady, everyone's always wondering if there's a man who's the husband of the female president, what would he be called? The first gentleman?
First gentleman.
That sounds kind of gay. It really does. I'm sorry to say.
She's creating a new cabinet position for him.
First gentleman.
She's creating a new cabinet. She says she becomes president, she's going to create a new cabinet position for him called blowjob receiver.
Yeah.
So you know, and who gives a shit anyway? You know, I can't believe.
Please, just don't vote for her. Please, anyone else except her or that.
What's wrong with Obama? Are you saying a black man can't be president, Frank?
I would love a black man like David Palmer would be a great president.
Who?
David Palmer. He's the best black president we ever had, and the second best is his brother Wayne Palmer. From TV.
I want Flip Wilson to be a president.
Yeah.
Is he dead?
There's one way to find out.
Oh, no, he's dead. Flip Wilson is way dead.
But when did he die?
Oh, my God.
What year? Let's have a new contest. What year did Flip Wilson die?
What year did Flip Wilson died? Oh, he died a good, you know, 10 years, 15 years ago, probably. I would say Flip Wilson died.
So what year would you say? I
say Flip Wilson died, and people know. Anybody know who Flip Wilson was?
Yes, he is a very great black comedian.
Okay, I think Flip Wilson died in 1992, at least.
I will say Flip Wilson died in 1996.
Okay.
Let's see. Going to Wikipedia right now, which is, of course, very accurate. He died in 1998, November 25th, 1998. I win. Yes.
You're close. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So here's another classic one from the paper today. The section of the paper talking about old movies.
Yeah.
And also here, they're showing a classic still picture from the movie Freebie and the Bean.
Freebie and the Bean.
Alan Arkin and James Caan from 1974. And there's a caption below of Hector Elizondo and Tom Mason, okay?
Yeah.
And whoever the hell he is. They just can't understand why the TV version of Freebie and the Bean went off the air so quickly.
Oh, boy.
Perhaps it's because you're not Al Arkin and James Caan. How about that?
Wait, I have the Flip Wilson Show opening theme song.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Flip.
Flip Wilson Show.
There you go. That was cool. There he is. There's Flip Wilson.
Yeah.
This guy was huge.
He was great. He was hilarious.
This is a great show from the 70s. There he is, Flip. I wanted a studio audience. Can we get a studio audience?
Yeah, why don't we get a studio audience?
I want to do that.
Is that it?
Yeah, I guess that was it.
Flip Wilson Show.
We have to watch it more than once.
I want a studio audience.
I want a studio audience.
Wouldn't that be great? We could sit here. We'd be on a little pedestal. We'd have the same setup, exactly the same setup, but there'd be people all around us.
Here we go.
That'd be kind of creepy, too.
Here we go.
Yeah.
They say, from they said it section of the paper.
Yeah.
As quoted from Claire Danes.
Claire Danes.
I have a real weakness for animals on clothing and hearts and stars.
What?
My mom had a nursery school in our loft and a pretty healthy appreciation for kitsch. So I think I appropriated that. And crack!
What the hell is she talking about?
That's what I'm saying. What are you on crack? What are you talking? I have a real weakness for animals on. Actually on clothing and hearts and stars.
What?
This is a quote.
Claire Danes.
You know, and she's. And here we go, Frank. What they'll be wearing this fall? There's the new, more fashion, fashion things. Here's the one wearing a freaking their own lighting here. You know, she's wearing a rack of lighting over her head as a part of the fashion show. This one was wearing a Muppet outfit, and you know, basically here we go. the runway, the guy was quoted, this guy was quoted as saying, Hal Rubinstein, the fashion director of In Style magazine, says the catwalk presentations, which ended yesterday, shouldn't be confused as ready-to-wear ensembles. Quote, this was never designed to be the marketplace, he told the Associated Press. The runway is about ideas. It's always about a conception of how somebody's thinking for the season.
Bullshit.
It's about bullshit.
You see these fashion shows on TV.
About ideas.
There's a girl wearing a Barney costume, Barney the Purple Dinosaur costume. There's a girl with like a giant like lighting fixture on her head. No one wears that stuff in the world. No one wears it. What is the point?
It's not, Frank, they're not meant to. It's about ideas. Bad idea.
No, but what? All right. So if it's an idea, if you go to the auto show, right? You go to the car show. They have concept cars, but they use those ideas. They make real cars out of them. Yeah. There's no real fashion that has someone has a light on their head. Yeah. I've never seen that ever in my whole life.
The runway's about ideas. It's always about a conception of how somebody's thinking in the season.
Right, why don't you have your ideas in the privacy of your own home? Yeah, give a shit about your ideas. I don't care about these people's ideas. These people sit there like, oh, it's brilliant. There's a light fixture on the girl's head. Ooh, what's good about what is good about look, that? What is good about that?
Let's go run out and buy that so it looks like a freaking moron.
There's nothing good about that.
Do any of these models look happy? Look at these people. No. I mean, how low do you have to sink to do that shit? I mean, you have to be like a total imbecile. I mean,
they're all drugged out. You know.
A bunch of crackheads, every one of you. Unbelievable. Here we go. Other subject of UFOs. Okay. UFO science key to halting climate change. Former Canadian defense minister.
What was it?
UFO science is the key to halting climate change, since former Canadian defense minister, Ottawa. Canada.
All right.
A former Canadian defense minister is demanding governments worldwide disclose and use secret alien technologies obtained in alleged UFO crashes to stem climate change, a local paper said Wednesday. Quote, I would like to see what alien technology there might be that could eliminate the burning of fossil fuels within a generation. That could be a way to save our planet, said Paul Hellyer, 83.
What the hell?
Alien spacecrafts would have traveled vast distances to reach Earth. And so must be equipped with advanced propulsion systems or use exceptional fuels, he told the newspaper. Such alien technologies could offer humanity alternatives to fossil fuels, he said, pointing to the enigmatic 1947 incident in Roswell. We didn't ask her about Roswell.
This makes me very angry.
This is what he says. Quote, we need to persuade governments to come clean on what they know. Some of us suspect they know quite a lot, and it might be enough to save our planet if applied quickly enough, he said.
Look, the bottom line is, it's the Illuminati that made up both the UFO shit and the global warming. It's all bullshit. I'm sorry, Princess. It's all made up by the Illuminati. It's all lies. It's lies. Can't even see it. Global warming and UFOs are fake. It's fake. I'm sorry. I had to get that out. I was very upset. It's all fake shit. Don't believe any of this shit.
About shutting the hell up.
I'm not saying that there's not fairies and demons and stuff, but the whole UFO thing is fake. Go on.
He shocked Canadians in September 2005 by announcing he once saw a UFO.
He was a defense minister.
What an asshole.
Yeah, a defense minister. What a great military they have.
Yeah, he's got it all figured out. What else you got for any other news?
I figured we would play a vintage commercial. I haven't previewed this one, but it's a Folgers coffee commercial featuring Mrs. Olson. Let's take a look, shall we? Classic commercials.
From Folgers.
Well, I'm afraid we'll have to call the garage, Mrs. Olson.
Oh, thank you so much. I hate to be such a bother.
No bother at all.
Well, while we're all waiting, I'll make some coffee.
Hey, don't you think she's got enough trouble?
What's that guy?
I can make coffee he likes.
Who's that actor?
I find you have to start with the right coffee. So I always use Folgers.
All coffee's the same, Mrs. Olson.
Oh, no, no. Different coffee tastes different. Now, I think Folgers tastes best.
One of those kale can openers.
It's specially blended. Joe ought to like this.
Joe.
What's Mountain Grown?
Mountain Grown's the richest coffee there is. Try some.
Oh, God.
Hey, that great smell coming from your coffee pot?
Uh-huh.
That's good coffee. There's one more problem. We're going to have to get a bigger pot.
Get Folgers, mountain-grown coffee. You'll like the flavor.
I totally forgot about Mrs. Olson. I remember now. Talk about suppressed memories, okay? Forget about being abducted and stuff. I have suppressed memories about Mrs. Olson. This is one of the worst parts of growing up in the 70s. These incessant Mrs. Olson commercials. I would like to say we must have the proper coffee. Oh, it's so annoying. Mrs. Olson.
Who was that actor? There's a guy that
no,
actor.
That guy was... He's in something.
He's in some actor.
He was in Tales of the Gold Monkey.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, Frank. Good thing you brought that up.
You didn't
Can
see...
Can we go home? What time is it? It's 1:30 in the morning.
I know, but for another 5 minutes, and the show's 3 hours, so, why not?
Fuck, you know? Man. I can't believe this, dude. How did you connive me to be here?
I don't want
to
be here.
I'm going to be exhausted tomorrow.
Me too.
Yeah, okay, great.
See, we're losing. It's good. If we're up too late, we start losing it.
What that's good. What are the kind of commercials? We were literally bolting out of here when we're done with the show. So, what are the commercials are there that you want to play? You want to put another commercial before we go?
All right, let's just name a product and we'll try to find a commercial.
Name a product.
Name a product and we'll try to find an old-fashioned commercial
What was there? Ultra Bright.
Ultra Bright?
One of those commercials? Ultra Brite.
Ultra Bright commercial? From the 1970s, here we go.
Who's the starring? None other than Farrah Fawcett.
Oh, hey.
Mother always told me, sit up straight, eat all your vegetables, and stay out of small foreign cars.
Don't get anal
but
cancer.
Joey, Mother never told me about Ultra Bright.
Oh, God.
Ultra Bright has more whitener than any leading toothpaste. And the taste that turned toothpaste from dough to dynamite.
It's got paint in it.
My mother thought that all that whitening would make me too exciting, so Mother never told me about
Ultra
Bright.
Is this a Rocky Horror Show?
Oh, my God.
The sex appeal toothpaste. No wonder we're so friggin' twisted growing up in the 70s, you know? All right, we have time for one more. Name a product, please. Just one more product. We'll do a third one.
What else?
Come on, you can think of something.
About Rice-A-Roni.
That's a classic.
That's a classic. The San Francisco treat, right?
Yeah.
Is there even a commercial that's even like worth watching for that product? No?
A lot of parodies of it, but...
No, okay. What's on the commercial? Come on, there was a classic commercial. Oh, what was the one with the commercial with the ancient Chinese secret? Huh? What was that one with the detergent commercial? Was that Fab or Tide? Maybe it was Tide. You know, one of those things. The Tide commercials, wasn't that one? It's a classic commercial with the Chinese. You know, and they just basically rip on the Chinese people by bringing that up.
Yeah, let's see. A Tide commercial.
Is it a Tide commercial or something else?
I don't know. Well, let's try this one. It looks kind of good.
Let me see.
Ah, here we go.
And I noticed, Miss Christian, today you bought Tide. Is this your regular brand?
Oh, God.
What do you like about it?
My clothes get very clean.
Tell me, what kind of dirt do these pretty young ladies get into?
Every kind. And I have a boy that plays Little League Baseball, and he does get dirty also. And plays in the swamp and hunts for frogs.
Have you ever tried the others?
Some samples through the mail, but I like Tide, and I like my children to look nice and clean.
I'm going to see how much you really like it. I'm going to take it away from you. I'm going to offer you twice as much of another leading detergent.
No.
I'll keep your Tide.
No
way.
No. I want my Tide.
Back then it was like ultra magic.
I want my Tide.
It was like, let's make a deal.
Yes.
Are you serious?
I am serious.
There's no way I can talk out of it?
For 15 years I've used Tide and I don't want to change. I like it.
Why do you like it enough to turn down 2-for-1?
Because it's that good.
So
you're
that's
paying
the way
this
it
commercial.
Is. Some ladies won't swap their Tide for even twice as much of another
commercial.
Leading detergent. Get Tide because you know you can trust.
We were bombarded with this stuff growing up. These shitty commercials in the 70s, we were bombarded with this stuff.
You won't trade it for these two boxes of crap detergent?
See, that was back with like Monty Hall and like, let's make a deal.
I'll make a deal with you. I'll give you these two boxes of mystery detergent for your box of Tide. So anyway, but I guess that's the show at this point. We've had another great 3 hours of amazing...
Yes, the credits.
Credits are coming up, and I'm going to be cleaning up shit from this office while we're at it. But if I think I might just leave it the way it is, Frank, at this point. I'm just going to go home.
It
I
is
had a
now
long day.
1:33 a.m. and
Frank and I, we're both getting up in 6 hours for our regular day jobs. And, you know, I'll be dealing with screaming kids and a screaming wife tomorrow morning, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And great. Thankfully, she has not listened to the show.
My wife does. Hello, Denise.
I think that she should stop listening to it.
I love you, honey.
Yeah. You keep making brownie points, Frank.
Now, wait a second.
Ain't going to love you that much longer.
Now, look.
At this current rate.
Look. All right. We're going to start. We're going to have like the live sound of cleaning up.
Live sound of cleaning up. And
because, of course, you know, at the end of every show, the credits roll.
Yeah.
And it shows all of the different people that work on the show.
So we should really acknowledge some of these people, shouldn't we, Frank?
Yeah. There's so many people that work on the Anything But Monday show.
Who else made this show possible, Frank?
Well, I'm looking at all these names going by. They're bringing up the lights in the theater. People are walking out.
Yeah.
A lot of times, people don't actually read a lot of the credits.
Yeah. You don't stick around for that.
I see that how can we forget? This is someone that has played a huge role on all the shows so far.
Mm-hmm.
Essential to our operation.
Our foreign unicyclist.
Foreign unicyclist.
Yes, okay. Of course, is young Robin Histerman.
Yeah.
And Robin, of course, rides the foreign unicycle.
Of course.
And of course. And
excellent.
And as you know, because basically, after you know, we're in the studio, but there's another room out there. And Robin rides back and forth in the foreign unicycle. Of course, it was foreign made. Where was it? We have a couple of unicycles that were foreign.
Yeah, Lithuanian.
See, I thought it was, but we have another one that's from
Luxembourg.
What's that friggin' country that was a former Soviet Union? I can never. Moldova?
Okay.
Moldavia? It was one of those. Moldavia or Azerbaijan. Yeah. One of those kind of countries.
Right, right.
I think he's riding the other one now because the other one needs to be oiled. But there's young Robin Histerman out there riding back and forth on the farm. Whoa, there you go.
Did you have enough clean up that Yeti shit from last week?
Well,
maybe you had the Yeti Wrangler here too.
There's still a stain, but yes, we have. There's only one abominable snowman out there right now.
What makes him so abominable?
It's actually semi-conscious. It's rubbing its head out there. But Robin is riding the unicycle around because usually, as we're doing the show, we talk about so many different topics. Sometimes we lose our train of thought and. A little bit of distraction. You know, you take a little breather, you look at Robin riding the foreign unicycle, and we're back on track.
Exactly.
So I want to thank Robin so much.
Thank you, Robin.
For all your great work on the foreign unicycle.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, we don't even want to, we don't have time. We're like a minute or two, less than 2 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
The domestic unicyclists, there's too many to mention.
Right.
Riding our domestically built unicycle. What is the unicycle?
I thought the person riding the unicycle was foreign. No,
technically he is foreign.
Because the unicycles themselves were foreign, or is he the rider of the
unicycle? He was born in America.
But he unicycled across.
But he grew up in like the Antilles or one of those islands, like Fiji or something.
Right.
So he was born here, but then he's technically foreign. So he's
got it.
You know. But what is the domestic? I have a question for you. What is the capital of domestic unicycle production in the United States of America? There's a good trivia question for you here as we're winding down the show.
The capital.
1 minute left.
Would be Fort Wayne, Indiana.
That's true. It is Fort Wayne, Indiana, but it used to be that.
Yeah.
And then they got superseded
by
Wappingers Falls, New York.
Just Falls, New York,
which is so close to here.
You would not know
and,
that.
And there still is some unicycle production there, but
there's actually a foreign unicyclist museum they're building there.
Well, they're covering both domestic and foreign unicycles at the Wappingers Falls Museum.
Right. So please go there and ask.
But
them.
They're no longer a major force in Fort Wayne. Of course, is a much greater unicycle production city. They're very proud of that. Here we are coming to the end. Any final words?
Any final words?
Sign off.
Please spread the word. Share the show.
Please. You can hear that we...
It only gets better from here. We put a lot of effort into it, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. But we'll be back
next
week with another episode.
Good night.